heard a number of bills this morning. We're continuing on this evening, and our intent is that most of these would be heard, amended if necessary, and then laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus liquor bill. There are a couple of exceptions to that rule that we have been asked if we could send separately because of either re-referrals or other reasons. And so we'll take those up when the time comes with the proper motions. So right now, I think Senator Magnus is the first on the agenda to present his bill. So Senator Magnus, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. And if someone would move Senate file 414, I would appreciate that to get us in front.
Senator Magnus, well, actually, we'll just hear all the testimony and such, and then we're going to be laying this one over.
Okay. And I do,
we'll do that at the end.
And I do have an amendment, I think, that I'd like to get put onto the bill so we can talk about it in the form I'd like
to have. We'll do that then. So Senator Gazelka moves the author's amendment, and it's going to be passed out here. It is the, I don't know what the number is.
236.
It'd be the A11 amendment.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. So, members, we'll get that. And so Senator Gazelka will move the A11 amendment. It is an author's amendment. So we'll let Senator Magnus put the bill into the shape he would like to present it in. So all those in favor of adopting the A11 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay, and the motion prevails. The A11 amendment is adopted.
Okay,
so Senator Magnus, your bill as amended.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. I don't know what I'm doing having a liquor bill here. I don't have much experience with that, so but it's something that's come to my attention, Mr. Chairman and members, and what has happened, we seem to have a situation where we have some micro distilleries out there that would like to do business in the state of Minnesota, but because of some of the stipulations in the law here, they're not able to, and they go across the border into Iowa, into my area. On the eastern side of the state, I've been contacted by some others that have the situation where they're going to into Wisconsin and do it, and you know, we're talking about micro distilleries here, just the small organizations, and we just like to have some changes made so they can do business here. I mean, that's basically it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Hey, Senator Max, do you have anybody to testify?
I do have a couple folks. Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
Bring up some individuals. And if you could, when anybody comes to the table to testify either for or against or make any comments on a bill, sure. If you could please be sure to sign in on the clipboard so we know you were here. And then also, at the beginning of your testimony, if you would just state your name and maybe if it's a different spelling, maybe spell it for us so we can make sure we get it in the record. And then also tell us who you represent or if it's yourself or your business, and then you can proceed with your testimony. So welcome to the committee.
All right. Ross Pletzer, P-L-A-E-T-Z-E-R, of Edina, Minnesota, representing myself. And I have potentially some clients who would like to invest in micro distilleries in the state, but under the current situation of the $30,000 annual fee and the other $15,000 distribution fee, it's not feasible. Mr. Chairman and members, a micro distillery bill in its current form is a welcome start, but it's only halfway there. This would let someone enter the micro distillery business for a much lower annual fee. I think it's $1,000 currently.
And
$2,000 bond. Now, the problem is that you have to make a huge investment to set up a micro distillery, anywhere from $250,000 to $1 million investment. You've got to get local zoning approval. You've got to get the federal people, the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms to approve the site. And you've got to get the state. That takes time and it takes money. So once you're set up, you've got to be able to do something to get cash flow. What you've just done is take out the 4-year aging requirements so that you don't have to make bourbon or brandy. Now, let's say you want to make gin or vodka, which is a good product to make. It doesn't take long, and you can make it quickly You can make money if you can sell it, but under the current bill as you have it, you have to go to a distributor under the three-tier system. I've talked to some distributors that handle micro-distillery products, very competitive field. The only products they want are products that have won awards. It's very hard to win an award until you've had people try your product, be able to sell it, modify it. You cannot do that under the current bill as it is now. The distributors do not want small batches that have no reputation. So if you can't sell your product, you can't make any cash flow. You can't pay the bank loan, you can't pay the investors, and so the whole business plan fails. What I would respectfully ask is that you would modify the bill to at least allow small on-sale small tastings on-site and off-sale purchases in small quantities, a couple of bottles. I don't know if you have a chart that I did that's labeled self-distribution rights for small distillers in other states. There's currently anywhere from 11 to 14 states that have micro-distilleries. There's about 200 micro-distilleries in the United States. The list that's here, I don't know if you have it, but it allows for the sale on the site by the producer of small quantities. Actually, in some states, it's unlimited sale, but in some, it's 1 9-liter case. Others, 3 750 bottles, 2 liter bottles per day. You can have tastings on site. You can interest people in it, and they can buy one or two bottles and go home. They can tell their neighbors. They can tell their friends. They can serve it at parties. And you can generate interest this way. That way you get cash flow. I know there's a brewery bill coming up. I don't know how many of you have been to the Harriet Brewery on Minnehaha. They've only been open a couple of weeks. In order to get cash flow there, they're able to sell the growlers, 64-ounce bottles. You can buy them for $10 or $12, $5 deposit. And the first Saturday I went there, the line was about a three-hour wait. People want good product. They're willing to pay for it, and they're willing to wait for it. There's kind of a renaissance now in the brewing and the wine and the spirits industry. We're behind the curve, frankly. One of the people who's working on grapes at the university and worked heavily with Senator Koch when we testified in front of Senator Scheid's committee 2 years ago, is out in Portland, Oregon at a micro-distillery conference. He said to me on the phone last night, I wish I could bring the committee here to see all this. There's micro-distilleries up and down the street. They have ecotourism where people can come in, sample, buy unlimited quantities, but people are only buying a bottle or two at each place, take a bus. Similar things happen in wineries, of course. It's getting more that way in Minnesota. If you go up to Traverse City in Michigan, you can get on a bus and go to 13 farm wineries in a scheduled tour during the day. In order to get that going in Minnesota, we have to be able to sell product made on site in small quantities. So I had sent something to Senator Magnuson's staff, kind of something that is a little along the lines of Senator Koch's bill, which was much more ambitious 2 years ago, and they said it was too much for the committee. So I guess what I'm asking is if you would be open to language that would allow off-sale products in small quantities, let's say 3 or 4 750-milliliter bottles or some larger liter bottles, in order to be able to generate cash flow. By taking the 4-year aging requirement out, you've allowed people to make gin, vodka, spirited fruit drinks and that kind of thing. But we need the next step, and that is to be able to sell the product. There's a lot of other things we'd like, but as a first step, I think that'd be a great way to get Minnesota into the micro distillery game. Thank you.
Is it Mr. Ross? Sorry?
Pletzer. Sorry.
Pletzer. Could
That's
I ask
harder.
A question, Mr. Pletzer?
Sure.
And I just want clarification here, and I want to make sure that this particular bill before us doesn't allow a lot of the things you're talking about. Right. This is just strictly creating this micro-distillery
License. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it drops the fee from $30,000 to $1,000, but it doesn't allow the sale or the sampling.
Right, we're not talking about any sort of off-sale.
No.
You'd
have to make your product and get a distributor interested.
And just like the normal process.
Right, just the normal process. It just drops the fee so that you don't have to pay $30,000. There's a gentleman over in New Richmond, Wisconsin, who would have stayed here, but he didn't want to pay the $30,000. He's making very good vodkas and gins now, a 45th parallel, he would have stayed here. But the $30,000 is a huge detriment to getting into the field.
Okay, I just want to clarify exactly what the bill is getting to and what we're doing here. Because I know you'd broaden, with your testimony, you'd broaden the discussion quite a bit.
Right.
It makes it adds a lot to it that maybe we don't want to. We want to kind of stay narrowly focused on the bill. So, okay, and Senator Magnus, your other testifier.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Peter Shortridge, Shortridge.
Welcome, Mr. Shortridge.
Shortridge from Winona, Minnesota. Our business in Winona is investing right now. We're a vineyard operation, so I'm going to focus a little more under the ag added value of ag. We've done a lot of work in the last few years with the University of Minnesota and some of the growing farm winery industry that's here in Minnesota, and the University of Minnesota has been real involved in the development of that. And you have a farm winery bill that's helped us as small value-added agriculture be able to expand this. Within the farm winery bill, though, it doesn't allow, it allows us to distill. We can make them in Winona. We're in the southeast corner. We have apples and stone fruit and grapes, and we can make eau de vie, and we can make ports, and we can make a number of value-added products, and we can actually, we understand under the farm winery bill, we can even allow those to be sampled. We just can't sell them. So it's really a stumbling block. And so the couple of steps here relative to the reduction of the financial hurdle are very important. The reduction, Senator Magnus's bill, reducing the time for distilling is critical. We've been working to try to make wild rice sakes. Well, we don't want to have, there's no reason, they're bad by, in some times, 4 years. We'd like to be able to sell it in the next year after we make it. And so those are critical. We still, though, have this whole kind of an odd catch-22 where we're not able to sell our product. Most of the states Minnesota is competing with in this case, Wisconsin, New York State, Iowa, Oregon, Washington, not to even mention California and Napa Valley and all the micro distilling on the West Coast. But we have no way to build a brand because we have no way to really market that directly unless we can convince some distributor to be involved in the loop and take a large share of the value away. We have no way to capture value. And as small ag value adders in the scale that the volumes are being talked about under these bills, we have to be able to sell as directly. If we have to sell at 50 cents on the dollar to be able to sell through a distributor, it's not going to happen. So I would argue that if you can help us there, we're going to create more revenues for the state of Minnesota. If we can't, it's not going to happen in Minnesota. It's going to continue, as Ross touched on, to go to Wisconsin or Iowa or Oregon or wherever. And you've even got companies like, you know, Crispin, for example, or others like that, who are having to make product out of state and have all sorts of gerrymandering around a product to where they can make things and where they can sell things. And so a lot of the tax value is going to other states. And so for us, we would really ask you not only to support this bill wholeheartedly as it's amended, as far as those two changes are an enormous step, but that really, even if nothing else, to look under the farm wine bill that's already in place, where you've empowered us to be micro distillers of grains and fruits and whatever as far as value adding for ag, but you've not allowed us to sell the product. So,
okay, thank you.
The essence of that testimony.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Plaitzer?
Plaitzer, yes. Yeah.
You talked about somebody you knew that didn't want to pay the $30,000 fee. And one of the things we're trying to do in Minnesota is become more competitive for businesses across the board. Do you know where they went, what the fee was they paid, where they went?
They went to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin has a flat fee. I think it's $2,500 for making 1 gallon or 100,000 gallons. It's a set fee that goes back to just after Prohibition. So, and there's also quite a few in Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York. Now, you know, how far are you going to move? But the real problem here has been the frustration. People just won't do it. I mean, the added advantages are you're creating jobs, you're creating taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, income tax, and alcohol taxes. You're buying a product usually from local farmers because you want to be able to control and watch the crop grow, whether it's the apples, the grain, the corn. The fella in New Richmond has a farmer just down the way that he plants a special acreage for him. And you're bringing tourism in. It also has the ancillary thing that we've got barrel makers in this state, and we've got two barrel makers, and they could use the extra business. You're going to buy your barrels here instead of getting somewhere else. So it is a revenue-generating proposition at many levels. And I know we're going outside the scope of the bill as currently amended, but that one change would do a lot for the industry.
Yep. Good.
It's because, as Peter said, it's not going to happen without that ability to sell.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, and in the case of the farm winery bill, sure. For anyone, which is a growing industry, we have requirements as far as the amount of Minnesota product we have to purchase. We have a requirement and a threshold as far as whether it's Minnesota apples or Minnesota grapes or whatever as our base for the product, that we have to be over 50% unless there's some crop disaster exemption. And so for us, we're pushed even further into only being Minnesota-centric, except for the ability, unless we can find, and there are very few distributors for this kind of product other than a couple of large names. They're very hard for small value-added ag-based producers to do that, and we have to buy Minnesota product. We just can't sell it.
Senator Magnus, did you have other testifiers?
I have one more, Mr. Chairman,
okay.
That is asked to testify. And Mr. Chairman, while he's coming up, I it's not that I don't support these gentlemen's thoughts on this, because I do, but by adding that into the bill, that, in my view, changed things quite a bit and had some more issues there with the bill, so I chose not to include. I felt it was best that that go as a standalone bill and not onto this one, but I understand the frustrations, and I'm glad they were able to testify, but it is a little bit different than I really wanted to go down to with this one bill, and so I did not agree to amend it. There are questions to this one. So that's the story with that.
I'm Lee Golicky, and about 40 years ago I was here to talk about getting the legislation to allow sale on-premises sale of wine for farm wineries. And it didn't happen immediately. I had to move my winery from Stillwater, Minnesota to St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. And I've now just, I'm fairly well into my application for alcohol, tobacco, and firearms permit to produce, to distill spirits. And I do have to move it to Wisconsin if the bill isn't changed, because there's just no way you can invest the money and not be able to sell your product to basically to tourists, to people who come to visit. And I don't understand just where this legislation stands, and maybe after hearing just this, it's not possible to do it at this point, but I think it's absolutely crucial before you'll have a craft distillery industry in the state. And it's if you look at all the wonderful areas in the world that do have these type of industries in France and cognac, or in Scotland or with Scottish whiskey, or Ireland, or as far as that goes, Kentucky, they have long traditions, and there's great public interest in very high quality products from these old traditional liquor distillers. But I guess really the only thing that I have to add, pretty much as everything has been said already, is just that the practical reality that without the provision for retail sales, it's pretty much impossible for someone to start a craft distillery in Minnesota.
I think we should hear from the Department of Public Safety on this, because of the license structure that's being proposed. And if you, Mr. Alt from Department of Public Safety, if you could maybe comment on this. We heard about the $30,000 threshold being prohibitive and these fees. If you could tell us how this would interplay with the Department of Public Safety.
As far as this particular bill, Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senators, thank you for allowing me to come forward.
Your name for the...
I'm sorry. My name is Jim Arnold. I'm the Interim Director for the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division. We would be able to end up working with whatever you end up doing. We haven't gotten any direction to take a position at all as far as on this bill, and we would incorporate whatever we could. We do have some some concerns, and we've been researching as far as kind of who would do what. The distilled product, if it's not very well done, can end up causing more than just as far as somebody to be have their stomach be ill. And there is a reason as to why there's been allowance for home brewing and also for home winemaking, and yet it has still been a felony on the federal level for home distilling. And with that, we've been attempting to take a look at kind of who does what in the distilling process. We worked with or talked with one of our current licensees and found that it looks like how things are end up setting up is that we would be probably tasked for researching or testing the purity of the products, or at least I would have some concern to make sure that the purity of the product is good if you're going to be allowing these to occur. The Department of Agriculture inspects for grain quality. The Department of Health inspects as far as any pop or water or anything that would else be made. The federal TTB oversees as far as taxation and record-keeping issues. The Food and Drug Administration may possibly have some role. One of the distilleries that we talked to today reported no inspections by them. And also the Department of Labor and Industry would be responsible to conduct as far as an annual inspection of the boiler and also making sure that somebody would at least have a Class B boiler operator's license. And so when we would take a look, if you would end up allowing for these, we would, part of our pre-license inspection that we would do, we would end up normally probably looking, make sure that somebody does have a Class B license to operate it appropriately. And then at there would be some sort of cost, I would assume, if we're to end up conducting tests to make sure that the quality is appropriate.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else in the audience that wants to speak in favor of or in opposition to Senator Vargas's bill here? Seeing none, are there any questions from committee members? Then we'll go ahead and move along then. So without objection, then the chair will move. Well, actually, we'll lay over Senate File 414 over for possible inclusion into the omnibus liquor bill.
As amended.
As amended.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Magnus. And Senator Scheid, now that we've educated all of the beer enthusiasts in the audience about distilling, we will shift gears to some brewing.
Mr. Chairman, we did wine earlier.
We did wine before. There wasn't much whining when we did that bill. I know.
Oh. Funny, funny.
This is what? There wasn't. And Senator Scheid, I know it's been this issue has been brewing for quite some time.
Oh!
I know it certainly kept you hopping.
Mr. Chair.
What's that?
Now we know why you don't have your own TV show.
Senator Scheid, this has been a long journey, but welcome to the committee.
Senator Gerlach and the committee members, thank you. You never should say a piece of legislation is fun, so I won't say that. But it has been a really educational experience for me. I wouldn't have understood the hop thing. Senator Metzen calls me hop along because of how I walk. So, but I do understand what that is now. And this is the so-called Surly Bill. And that's how people know it. And there's a few pieces of apparel around the room that apparently say Surly. I can even see them. But it doesn't apply to just one brewer. It does arise, however, out of a business plan that the owner and the founder of Surly Brewing Company, Omar Ansari, has developed. And that was the genesis, the rationale for this bill to begin with. He's going to share that story with you shortly. I do have an author's amendment and that represents or reflects, I think, tries to address some concerns that were raised by some other people in the industry, some other brewers, bars and restaurants and wholesalers. The original bill language is 5 lines long, plus the effective date, and this language is more filled out and more clear. I would like to offer that, Mr. Chairman. Is it the A3 still?
Yes,
Senator Shire. The A3 amendment is being handed out now.
I'd like to do that.
And
then I'll walk through it.
Again, this will be an author's amendment, so if we could, members, put the bill in the shape that Senator Shire would like. So the A3 amendment is being moved, or Senator Shire moves the A3 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. And the motion prevails. The A3 amendment is adopted.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The original bill, as I said, was very short, and it essentially just authorized municipalities to issue an on-sale liquor license, to brewers for service of their beer on their premises. And I'm not even sure that it was specifically just their beer. But I will tell you what we now have in front of us, and I'll try to describe that for you as we just kind of walk through it. First of all, you'll see it calls it a brewer taproom license. And it still is that a municipality may issue it, but it authorizes on sale of malt liquor that's produced by that brewer for consumption on the premises. We have in here premises of or adjacent to one brewery location owned by the brewer. Okay, nothing in this subdivision precludes that holder of that license from operating a restaurant if they wish. This was a concern from some other people in the industry who may just have wanted to have a tap room, if you will, a place to serve their brew. But they didn't necessarily want to have a restaurant. And Mr. Ansari's business plan is to have a restaurant. So I said, okay, you know, you may do this without a restaurant or with it if you wish. So that's what the meaning of that language is on line 1, 9 and 10. And then we're clear on 111 through 113 that all provisions of this chapter, which is obviously 340A, our liquor statutes, all of the provisions that apply to any retail liquor license will apply to a license, to this barroom taproom, brewer taproom license as well. And so then parens B on line 14, we're clear here that a brewer could have only one taproom license. They might have more than one brewery location, but they would only be able to have one taproom license altogether. I mean, if they had two breweries, they could still have just one. Okay. Then parent C on line 16 just says, it actually deals with kind of the big guys and a concern of some people that the really large brewers or those who even produce wine, because apparently wineries, I guess, are maybe getting into buying breweries. So the really big guys would be precluded from getting one of these licenses in Minnesota. Now, they haven't done it that I know of in any other state where you're able to have this kind of a license to serve your own product on your premises. But that's what that paragraph is about. So then parens D, it just has to do with the fee. We had said in the original bill it would be $100. Well, we knew that was just a placeholder. This is 340A does have some limitations on license fees, and so we're just relating whatever fee the municipality would charge to that. And then paragraph E is that there was some concern that the commissioner be the one to issue the license. We're thinking we still want it at the municipal level. But at least they would inform the commissioner, and they do that, I think, for other licenses as well in Chapter 348. So I think that I have adequately defined or explained that. I think that's right. I don't think there's anything more in there that you should know, but this is the first bill I've seen this year, and that doesn't mean there isn't one, but the first one I've seen, it's actually going to create jobs with just a tweak of an existing law regulation. I'm not asking, you know, we're not asking for any tax dollars. It's not a bonding proposal. I've had those, and we always talk about how many jobs we're going to create, but this is just a matter of a small change in existing state law that's going to enable certain businesses who are right now craft breweries to be able to grow their business. Back in 1987, I think, is when we allowed, we enabled craft brewers to get started. I was very proud to have my legislative assistant point out to me that I was a co-author. I didn't remember the discussion, but forgive me, back in 1987, but I was a co-author of that bill, and it's taken, what, almost 25 years, but we're really ready, and that was a tweak at the time, and we're ready now for another tweak to enable them to move to the next level. And, you know, I would say, well, it worked. And I think we were a little behind the time back then. We're a little behind the time right now in terms of the rest of the country, but I think we're just at a really good point. So that makes this a pretty exciting proposal. And, of course, the controversy, because some people have said, well, that you're doing damage to the three-tier system. We don't have a perfectly clean three-tier system in any case. We've had tweaks to it over the years, but members will be reminded, perhaps, I mean, maybe everybody does know, but you know that there's a manufacturing level, the wholesale or distribution level, and then the retail level, which, of course, in this case would be bars and restaurants and liquor stores. And we're asking, and you can't have licenses in and do business in more than one of those, essentially, in the three-tier system. And now we do have brew pub legislation, which this does not impact, that enables brew pubs to manufacture but also then to sell at retail. And we're looking here to let those who now may sell at retail through the distribution system. Well, they don't have to all use the distribution system. That's got to do with barrels. And see, I want to get this straight here. We are asking that the manufacturing level be able to have that on-sale retail piece. And as you know, they already can self-distribute up to 25,000 barrels. And we're not changing that, but that's kind of the exception, if you will, what I call a tweak. And I do think it's a pretty minor adjustment to the three-tier system. And I don't know if I certainly would answer any questions, but I'd like Mr. Ansari to be able to tell his story as well.
Certainly, but before we get to testimony, Senator Brown has a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Scheid, could you explain line 15 to me? I'm not clear on what that's saying.
Ah, yes, I'm sorry, and I didn't. That's the one piece I left out. And I see in my notes in the margin. A brewer may only have one taproom license under this subdivision and may not have an ownership in a brewery licensed under sub 6 clause D. That's the brew pub statute or section, if you will. So you cannot have a brew pub. These are microbreweries and they're different. Mm-hmm. They're different. And so that's what that language clarifies. So a brew pub would not be.
All right, thank you.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Scheid. I'm co-author on the bill, so obviously I'm supportive of the idea. And in particular, I don't see any reason not to let commerce be done unless there's a compelling, kind of public safety sort of interest. Why do we end up with C? That is the restriction that a license can't be issued to a brewer to set up a tap room who produces more than 250 barrels of beer or 250,000 gallons of wine. What's the reason for that?
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Thompson, that was not obviously in the original language, and it happened about a week ago. I met with some other people in the industry, and one of their concerns has been that some of the big guys, you know, the Anheuser-Busch or Miller Coors, or I'm not sure if it's Miller Coors, but anyway, the big companies, which I think now are multinational, they're not even American-owned anymore, that they might come in and, you know, I kind of say, well, I don't really see them coming in and having some kind of a destination brewery selling Bud Light. You know, I just don't see it happening.
You know? Here.
But that was a concern by some other folks in the industry. So,
Mr. Thompson, it's not real beer unless you can chew it. That's the good stuff.
It's probably a small point. It just seems to me the notion that somebody's sitting in the boardroom going, got to get that one tap room in Brooklyn Center. I don't really worry about that, but it's all right. I'm just curious.
Okay, further questions from committee members? Then, Senator Scheid, if you want to bring forth your testifiers, and we'll hear from them.
I'll write your name down.
Welcome to the committee.
My name is Omar Ansari, A-N-S-A-R-I, like it sounds. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of Senate File 416 today, which would allow breweries to sell pints of their own beer on premise. I'm the founder and president of Surly Brewing Company, based in Brooklyn Center. I'm a small business owner and a Minnesotan. 5 years ago, we sold our first keg of beer. It's been an exciting and unbelievable ride ever since then. We've enjoyed growth, continually expanded, and won various accolades, including being named Best Brewery in America, despite the fact we're only sold in Minnesota. When I first came up with the idea of opening a brewery in Minnesota, I was surprised at the lack of breweries in the state. I met with the then president of the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild to gather his thoughts on the Minnesota brewing scene. I was surprised when he suggested I open a brewery in Hudson, another location in Wisconsin. He explained that the laws in Wisconsin are much more accommodating and favorable to breweries. He said that a fledgling brewery has a far better chance of being successful in Wisconsin than in Minnesota. I listened to him and remembered our conversation, but regardless, I followed my vision and proudly opened my company in my home state. After all, I root for the Vikings, not the Packers. My opinions have not changed today. I'm proud of my Minnesota company and looking to continue to follow my vision to build a destination brewery complete with a bar, a restaurant, event center, and a beer garden. All we want to do is sell glasses of our own beer at the brewery. This destination brewery would be a second location for Surly. It would increase our production dramatically and would be a gathering point. People have a connection to breweries, and they like to see where that beer is crafted. I want people to experience our Minnesota craft breweries. Beer tourism is becoming more and more popular. Last year, I traveled to California with some friends to visit some breweries, one of which is very similar to the ones I hope to build. On that trip, we stayed in a hotel, we ate out every meal, and visited local stores. It was good for the local economy there, and I'd like to see the same thing here. Other states have contacted me about building our destination brewery in their state, but I want to build my Minnesota business in Minnesota. To do this, I need to be able to sell patrons a glass of our own beer. I want to make it clear that Senate File 416 would allow a production brewery to sell only their own beer for consumption on premise. It does not allow any beer to be purchased and taken off site. Estimates say our new brewery would be around a $20 million project, providing 85 construction jobs and 150 permanent jobs at the destination brewery. Currently, Minnesota law doesn't allow us to build this because we can't charge our patrons for a glass of our own beer. I'm here today to ask you to support Minnesota's craft breweries. I'm not asking for any tax breaks or public subsidies to build our new brewery, only the necessary change in brewery licensing law. Today, this destination brewery could be built in almost half the states in the country, including Wisconsin, a mere 30 minutes from here. The modest change in the law we're asking for today will not only help Surly Brewing, but it will also help other existing breweries, and I expect it will encourage more breweries to start up here as well, and it will help establish Minnesota as a craft beer state. I want people to come to Minnesota to visit our great state's breweries, very similar to how people travel around the country to visit wineries. Right now, Surly only distributes our beer in state because we can't keep up with demand. With this expansion, we'd be able to distribute more widely in Minnesota and nationally. That means more jobs and more revenue, and it should be nice to have Minnesota receive the tax revenues from people enjoying our beer in other states. This modest change is not an attempt to tear down the three-tier system. Minnesota law already allows Minnesota wineries to sell glasses of their wine at the winery, and the three-tier system is still intact. Why wouldn't we give Minnesota brewers the same opportunity? The more people enjoying Minnesota craft beer, the better, not only for those breweries, but for consumers, bars, and liquor stores. That's why I have letters of support today from people representing those entities. We've worked hard over the last several months to connect with all the concerned parties, and I believe the bill before you today is a good faith effort by small Minnesota breweries to address the concerns of others in the industry. I'd also like to point out that by passing Senate File 416, you'll help grow businesses and create jobs without spending a dollar of public money. I want to close by sharing a little bit about my roots. My parents are both immigrants to America. They came here in the 50s, and they wanted to come here to experience all the opportunities America has to offer to chase the American dream. And they built their manufacturer business from nothing in the late 60s. And I learned from them the determination and perseverance it takes to run a small business. I learned how to chase opportunities and to develop my vision for a business. I had an idea, followed my passion for brewing beer, and opened Certainly Brewing Company. When I did, my dad shook my hand and welcomed me as a fellow entrepreneur. When I started, we had two simple goals. One, make payroll, and two, make great beer. It took us a little while, but we succeeded in both. And now is the time for us to take another step and follow my vision for Surly in the Minnesota beer community. We're a Minnesota company, and we need your help in continuing our growth. Please pass Senate File 416 so we can create more jobs, add tax revenue, and build something that people will come to from around the world. We're a small business with a big idea. Thanks, and I will gladly stand for your questions.
Any questions for Mr. Ansari? Okay. And then, members, let me just make one quick announcement, kind of a change of plans. I told you that we were going to be laying over most bills. This one in particular, the author, Senator Scheid, has asked if we could send this one out on its own. So we will vote on this one, and the motion will be to the floor when the time comes. And then we'll also talk about having it included possibly in the omnibus bill as well. But so we will take a vote on this bill when we're done with this. Okay, Senator Scheid, other testifiers.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Petz.
Thank you. My name is Ryan Petz. I am the president and co-founder of the Fulton Beer Company. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for having us here today.
Welcome.
A little bit about our business. We have a shorter history than Surly, most definitely. We started recently in a South Minneapolis one-car garage and quickly moved to a two-car garage, thus doubling in size. We then moved to a contract brewery in Wisconsin, and we're now building a production brewery in downtown Minneapolis. I'm here to testify in support of 416 because I believe this bill is beneficial not only to us as individual breweries, but also to Minnesota's craft brewing industry as a whole, our beer wholesalers and retailers, and our entire state. Minnesota's craft beer industry is substantially underdeveloped in comparison to our peer states such as Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. In fact, those states each have approximately four times as many breweries as Minnesota does. And we believe this disparity is largely attributable to breweries in those states being allowed to sell their beer on premises in pints, such as Omar mentioned, whereas we are not. So why are on-premise sales so important? For small breweries, even small breweries are very expensive to build. In Fulton's case, we're spending over $500,000 on equipment and site improvements alone, not including real estate, just to get started brewing on a small scale. It can take years for a small brewery to build a large enough customer base just to break even. On-premise sales can significantly lower that barrier by providing the startup brewery with a way to interact with customers, build brand awareness and loyalty, a dependable revenue stream to cover expenses, and capital to eventually invest in hiring employees and expanding their facilities. In Fulton's case, on-premise sales would allow us to hire 8 employees off the bat instead of 3 and invest another $100,000 in our facility right away. For an established craft brewery, as craft breweries grow and establish themselves, the on-premise sales enable them to invest in beer gardens, restaurants, and event centers, and even become tourist destinations, as Omar mentioned. For our state, we really believe that the growth of the craft brewing industry in Minnesota would benefit the entire state with more jobs, tourism, and tax revenues, as well as the breweries and brewers becoming part of the cultural landscape. And finally, we believe the growth of small breweries, craft breweries, can also benefit Minnesota's wholesalers and retailers. On-premise sales help a small brewery to expand and produce more beer, which can then be sold by the wholesalers and retailers. Craft beer's steady growth on a national level and higher price points are helping offset the losses that wholesalers and retailers are experiencing in their other beer categories, such as imports and domestics. That's all I have, so thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions of either gentleman?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And Senator Scheid, you have some other individuals on the list as well. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Dan Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-Z. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Liftbridge Brewing Company out of Stillwater, Minnesota. We sold our first keg about 2 years ago and started by contract brewing with another brewery in St. Paul, Flat Earth Brewing Company. I think this bill would significantly help us for all the reasons that Omar and Ryan stated. So I'll keep some of my stuff brief, but we just recently finished building building out our brewery in Stillwater and have spent several hundreds of thousands of dollars not only on equipment but also hiring tradespeople, steam fitters, pipe fitters, electricians, plumbers, and the like. And it would significantly help us to raise our brand awareness and really keep things moving with our business. So it would be super beneficial, and we appreciate the consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Mr. Chairman, I wanted to point out that you do have, I think it's stapled together, a packet of letters from people who or entities that are in support, as well as the people who are testifying.
And those are included in everybody's packets.
I think there's a letter from Mayor Ryback. There's a liquor store or two, more than one liquor store. There's a bar in Minneapolis, another bar, St. Paul, and some individuals. So it's a variety of the kinds of support that we have for this legislation. And okay.
And then also on the list, we have a Jason Alvey or a Joe Giambruno or an Andrew Schmidt.
Hi. Chairman Gerlach and Senate members, my name is Jason Alvey, that's A-L-V-E-Y. I am the owner and founder of a specialty beer store in St. Louis Park called the Four Firkins. I'm here to speak in favor of the Minnesota Taproom Bill, 416. The Four Firkins is a retail liquor store, although we choose to only sell beer. I believe that Minnesota is on the verge of becoming a major beer destination state. The passing of this bill will open the door for that to happen. Opposition to this bill states that if breweries are allowed to sell pints of their own beer, they will become competition for retailers like me. This argument is obviously flawed. As Omar has already stated, the passing of this bill will only allow him to sell pints to the consumer, not six-packs, not cans, not kegs. If people still want to take the product home, they have to come to a liquor store like mine. Another point opposition states... The passing of this bill will cause breweries to become competition for restaurants who may sell the same beer. The fact is, competition would be far outweighed by the thousands of people who are attracted to the area because of the brewery. Let's use Surly's proposed $20 million destination brewery as an example. The construction of such a brewery would be an absolute must-see for beer tourists. A brewery such as this would bring thousands and thousands of people to the area from all over the country, even the world. The local businesses are bound to see many, many new customers. I wish they would build their new brewery a mile from my store. I strongly support the passing of this bill, as I believe that if all Minnesotan breweries are allowed to sell their own beer, people will visit them in droves, just like the destination breweries of Colorado, California, and Wisconsin. Beer enthusiasts will bring family and friends with them to these breweries, which will mean that more and more people will try the beer. These people will then go and seek out that beer at local liquor stores and restaurants. The nearby restaurants would do well to serve that brewery's beer, as people will surely come there looking for it. I feel that the passing of this bill will be the tide that raises all ships. Minnesotan microbreweries are producing world-class beer. Let's show the rest of the nation how proud we are of them and release them from these shackles. I say let them grow. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for me?
I don't see any. Thank you very much, Mr. Alvey. Oh, we do. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Alvey, could you tell us how you really feel about this bill?
Thank you.
Thank you. And then is it Mr. Giambruno next? I have that on the list. I don't know. Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Looks like I'm over my head here.
Not at all. We're a friendly crew.
All right. So I come forward in support of this bill.
Well, could you please state, I guess, I've got your name. Are you just a private citizen?
Sorry?
You're a private citizen?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, great.
If you need the spelling of my name, it's Sicilian, so Giambruno.
We had it right then. Okay, thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. So obviously I'm not a professional brewer here, but I come here as a responsible drinker of all these guys' excellent beer. If there's people here skeptical about this, please look at me as a case study on how a growing beer culture can positively affect people when they become old enough to drink. I turned 21 down in North Carolina where I was going to school, and their laws, they were a lot less restrictive. My first pub I went to was a small brewery that just opened. They're able to serve pints there without having to go through the loops of opening a commercial kitchen. They're also able to sell to local stores and bars. So there I was served my first pint from the brewer himself in the presence of all the brewing equipment. You know, it was a great learning experience for me. I learned so much about beer, the brewing process, and all the equipment. And call me romantic and crazy, but all that education and interest I developed there led me to have a greater respect and passion for beer in the brewing process. And the strong respect I have makes me a much more responsible drinker. And I don't think you're going to get that respect and responsibility if you have limited choices in your beer when you turn 21 and you can just go to a store and get a big brand beer. Speaking of stores, you know, I don't have any numbers. I'm just, you know, a little home brewer here. But, you know, if there's a fear that people are going to lose business over this, you know, I, using myself as an example, I think that that's not true at all. After having a connection with the brewer and the brewery, I absolutely was a much better patron to these local liquor stores and pubs. You know, I was a part of this beer culture. I was passionate about it, and I gave them a lot more of my business. Ask my girlfriend. So, like many of these guys here, you know, I would absolutely love to work at a brewery or someday even open my own. I'm currently taking classes to get a degree in brewing, and with the business plan that I, you know, my dream business plan, I wouldn't be able to open here in Minnesota as the laws are, you know, currently in the books. I could easily move over to the next state, but I grew up here, you know, Minnesota's my home. You know, my family and friends are here. I'd hate to try and open a business without their support or even move away from Minnesota. So, you know, if you're taking anything from me, if I can be an example of people and if people are like me, I think there's going to be a much better appreciation and respect for beer. People might drink more responsibly, and I'm sure this is going to lead to more business at local bars, you know, and pubs. This just makes sense, I think.
All right, thank you. So I don't know, maybe that was a job application. I don't know. I will say the other thing is I didn't know you could get a degree in brewing, but how did you sell your parents on that one?
I don't know. They only drink Michelob Ultra.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Pappas.
You know, as a higher ed person, where are you taking your classes?
I'm taking them at Siebel Institute. I'm taking online lectures right now. So.
But it's Siebel Institute?
Siebel.
Okay. All right. Any questions then? Okay. Thank you very much. And then I have one other on the list, Mr. Andrew Schmidt, who'd signed up. Okay. If you would please step up. Yeah, please introduce yourself. Thank you.
My name is Andrew Schmidt, speaking on behalf of myself as a private citizen and as a member of a social media consortium or group of Minnesota beer activists is what we've dubbed ourselves. Really, we're a bunch of consumers who support Minnesota breweries and their right to be able to practice their craft in Minnesota. Joe got up here and spoke earlier. He's studying to become a Cicerone. We have several Cicerones that we speak to all the time that are fans of beer, several that are within our ranks that are studying to become Cicerones, people that work for distributors, people that work in bars, people that work in restaurants, and people that just enjoy consuming Minnesota beer. And there's probably, I would say, over 1,200 people that we talk to on a regular or semi-regular basis who would like to see this legislation passed because they would like to support Minnesota businesses that provide a quality product. There you go.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
That's all the testifiers, the proponents that I had on the list. If I would, I will make a call for anybody else in the audience, but I would say that, I mean, we have a lot of people here. If you have something new to add to the discussion, that would be helpful. And on the proponent side first. So if you have something new to add, then please go ahead and step up and we'll hear briefly from you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. I will be brief because I don't have really that much new to add, but I am a private citizen, Justin Bruhn, B-R-U-H-N, and I work in a bar in South Minneapolis. And I just want to, I mean, you've heard really compelling testimony thus far, and I just want to tell you from a bartender's standpoint who works at specifically a bar that deals a lot with good beers, all we sell is beer and wine, and mainly we sell mostly beer. We don't really concentrate on wine because there's so much enthusiasm around beer itself. Apart from it being extremely popular, I want to testify to the fact that people are already coming to Minnesota to try our beers and are interested in our breweries. Our bar operates near the light rail line, so a lot of people who stay at the airport will search gastropub or something to that nature and find us because we have really good brews, a wide variety of them, and we are very proud to serve all of them, especially the ones from Minnesota. I love selling Minnesota beer to customers that come in, and it's a very prideful thing, and it makes no sense to me that you guys would be opposed to this. I think that is all. I just wanted to speak to that as a bartender and for my patrons, and like I said, already we've seen tourism generated from this. So enthusiastic about this that I'm here on my own, you know. Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, and downtown Minneapolis. I mean, I'm a Twins fan too. How cool would it be to go to Fulton's Brewery before a game, hang out, have a burger, whatever. No brainer to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might just kind of summarize something that Mr. Bruhn said. He said that they sell a variety of Minnesota beers because it's a bar. It's not a brewery. So they sell a variety. You can imagine people going to different breweries and maybe riding their bike or being on a bus and doing a tour, whatever. And then they would go someplace like a bar where they could order more than one kind. Remember, the breweries would only be able to do, you know, their own brewed beer. So I just thought of that as you were talking.
Yes, and my name is Zachary Morgan. I am here on behalf of Stillwater Brewing Company, LLC. In Stillwater, we are neighbors to Lithbridge. And I would like to talk about maybe a corner of the market that has been left out thus far. And those are breweries that are not even microbreweries. We affectionately call ourselves a nano brewery. We make 760 barrels a year. Omar, that's probably what you make in a day.
Well, not quite.
Yeah, okay. So for us, when breweries first began, we're talking pre-prohibition, you made for a community and you brewed for the locals, and the locals came to your bar, to your brewery for their local beer. This is something that is our envision to reinvent, the local brewery. We will not distribute even outside of the Twin Cities area, mainly not even outside of Stillwater. So for a bill like this, where we're located on downtown Main Street, Stillwater, the number of tourists that come in a year, we are able to hire 800% more help than what we already have. Some of these guys are able to add, it's going to create jobs, but for us it's going to exponentially create jobs. Right off the bat, giving us the ability to probably sell more beer by the pint and growlers to our local community who we make beer for than even kegs to bars and restaurants. And for some of us, that is fairly important because we want to be the cornerstone brewer of a specific community, not even of a state or on a national level. And without this type of legislation, it's simply impossible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, then. Is there one more? One more then? Okay, we've got one more.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, yes, Senator Bonoff.
While we're waiting, a piece of trivia. Senator Scheid, I don't know if you know this, but the current governor of Colorado, who I was able to hear at my son's college graduation, got his business start owning and running a microbrewery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Andrew Johnson, and I am here as a private citizen and a beer fan of Surly as well. And I completely agree and reiterate, you know, every point that's been made here so far. And as well, I've been out of state to do beer tours. I just wanted to say two things. One is, if this law was applied, or the current restrictions were applied to other scenarios, I think about, for instance, if the Minnesota Twins were not allowed to sell merchandise at the stadium, and many musicians, for instance, not being able to sell merchandise at their own shows. But the other big thing I just want to reiterate is that, you know, this is, everybody keeps saying this is a destination brewery, but really this is a landmark brewery. This is really going to put Minnesota on the map in the beer world, and I am very proud of Minnesota and what we have going on right now in the community and what Omar has done. And in terms of that beer, it's gotten me passionate about it, and I just recently started brewing at home as well, and I'm a huge fan, and go to the liquor stores and specifically look for some of the specialty beers. I remember when Omar released Four, which was the fourth anniversary beer, and went out to the liquor store, and literally it had sold out within the day. And I ended up getting there very early, took the day off from work. and you know, I'm a beer fan. And so I think that's what we're trying to do here. It's very inspiring, trying to create jobs, trying to create a landmark and really put Minnesota on the map in the beer world. And very excited about it. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, please. Yeah, go ahead. I don't want to cut anybody off, but we do. We do want to provide some other time for some of us. If you want to say something brief,
extremely brief,
new to the discussion.
My name is Dan Justison, and I'm the co-owner of Vine Park Brewing Company here in St. Paul, and we're a rather unique business where we help people come in and brew beer. One of the previous speakers also mentioned that they are a nano brewery at 700 barrels. We're actually even smaller. We're at about 85 barrels that we sell in growler form. We're never going to take advantage of this, but anything that builds the appreciation in the market for craft beer helps my business in the long run. Specifically, what I want to address is the beer tourism. Part of our business philosophy is that we sell fun. And one of the fun things that we do is we take groups of people over to Europe and other places and tour beer destinations. There are people around the country who will sign up and spend $3,000 to $8,000 to go over to Europe, tour, consume, eat out, stay at hotels, and enjoy the culture that's been created in those communities, such as Prague and Munich, and this year we're going to Italy. It is a dramatic. You can go to Amazon and search for books on beer tourism. You will find stacks of them. They will tell you everything about the breweries in those locations in those countries. They have a value add in those countries. They have created something, and we're seeing it happen in the United States. We see it happen in Canada, up in Montreal, and some of the beer festivals. People travel great distances, spend great deals of money to enjoy their passion. And you've heard that passion in some of the consumers' voices. I think you've heard the passion in the brewers' voices about what they do. And you find that same thing everywhere in the world that you go. and you see troops of people walking into those breweries after each group after group after group. It may not be your kick, but it is a lot of people's kick. And I'd love to see people coming to Minnesota to do the things that we do. It's just like tourism anywhere. People who live in Minneapolis maybe never go to the IDS, but people who come here from the outside do. It's the same thing. There are people all over the country and all over the world that will come here because this is cool and different to them, just like we go to their places and think what they do is cool and different. So thank you. That's all I wanted to talk about.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to add to that speaker's last comments, the New York Times did an article a month or two ago highlighting a beer tour starting in Ashland, Wisconsin, and ending in Duluth, and the various breweries and brew pubs along the way. So it's out there, just like the speaker said.
Okay. Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little ignorant on some of this. Prior to serving on this committee, I just assumed growler was a term Rush Limbaugh used to describe Chris Matthews. But, could you give me a quick definition on what a growler is?
Sure. A growler is defined by a Minnesota statute as a 64-ounce jug of beer that's been produced and is sold only on site at the brewery. It's sealed for off-premise consumption. And it's licensed by the municipalities. And all the taxes are paid, federal and state.
Thank you.
Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Brown, when you come to visit me in Duluth this summer, I'll send you home with a growler from Fickers.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to point out, I was thinking of passing this book around, but then I knew people would get engrossed in reading it, and it's a wonderful history of beer in Minnesota. Huh. And I know that two of our fine breweries, Summit and Shells, participated in helping to put this book together. But this is a wonderful picture, draft beer in half-gallon picnic bottles, and it's called Picnic Beer by Schmidt. So I'm not looking at the year right now for, well, common in the mid-1930s. So I would say growlers are back. That's I think 64 ounces is what that is. So, but it's a wonderful story of how important beer has been in Minnesota. And I believe that Shell's is the second oldest brewery in the United States. So, and it's probably not surprising, you know, that we have had the successful breweries that we've had over the years. And they're coming back. It's different than it used to be, you know. But in this book, it tells you how Franklin Roosevelt was more interested not so much in having a beer to drink, but in raising revenue. So after Prohibition, how excited he was about the beer industry. And, I mean, we've kind of come full circle, and this is a growing business. I'm not just talking about tax revenue, but obviously all the attendant business that goes with the breweries.
Senator Thompson.
Now that I'm hearing what people do around the beer trade, I'd like to publicly apologize for all the things I've said about you Grateful Dead groupies.
And I will say our crack staff has determined the definition of what a Cicerone is. There's an expert in all things beer. Is that correct?
Right.
All right. Because I know you were all wondering, as we were. It's also a hotel in Rome. And the Hotel Cicerone. We've Googled it many which ways, and we've come up with the correct answer. So, Senator Scheid, then, does that conclude your presentation of the bill on this portion?
Mr. Chairman, I believe. Okay. I didn't know about some of the people who came.
Certainly then. Okay.
I'm very pleased that they did.
Right.
So.
And I think it's safe to say that there's not some, there is some concerns about this, certainly. And then let's ask for anybody in the audience that would like to speak on the bill. Mr. Bagnoli, welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Bagnoli, and this has been a great hearing, and I'm glad Senator Scheid, she and I talked earlier about the book that she has and the fact that Summit and Shells, and I think it's right today. There's a lot of great brewers in the room, but to acknowledge Ted Marty, who's here with Shells, who's the owner of Shells and a constituent of Senator Dames. It is the second oldest brewery in America, managed to survive Prohibition. in whatever way they did. And it's good, solid German ingenuity, I'm sure. All the good people down in New Ulm figured it out and kept that brewery going, and the state's better off for it. Again, my name is Joe Bagnoli. I'm an attorney with the McGran-Shea Law Firm, and I represent the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association and the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association. Over the past couple months, a lot has been said about retail concerns, and I think some of it's been a little bit hard to follow. So I wanted to be, I've spoken with a number of you, but I wanted to at least outline what our concerns are. We've never been opposed to competition. Competition is a given. What we're concerned about, and what we're concerned about, is that this somehow will lead to some unfair competition. And let me explain that a little bit. And here's how the concern lies. The concern is right now for a bar. When a bar buys a barrel of beer, that beer started out at a brewery. Brewery brewed the beer. A wholesaler then picks up the brewery, or the brewer adds a little markup on the brewery to make a profit, which is good and right. The wholesaler then picks up the beer. Wholesaler transports it. That costs a little money. They make a little bit of profit. It comes to the bar. The bar's got to put a little markup, and then just a little tax commercial here, and then 9% sales tax at the state level is put on. There's only two products that are above 6.5% in the state of Minnesota, alcohol and car rentals, 9% sales tax at the state level. So every single one of those steps, a bar gets it after all of that components of markup and then at the end taxation, all of it. So our concern is, under the proposal that Senator Scheid initially introduced, is that brewer brews it, rolls it across the floor, charges that little bit of markup, puts the 9% off. All of that cost is erased. And that cost is potentially competitively disadvantageous to us. As introduced, the legislation did not apply just to one entity. It applied to all brewers, and it didn't apply just to small brewers, although mostly small brewers are here today. It was irrespective of size. So the concern was, clearly, small breweries do not have the economies of scale to drive down their beer prices to a level. Virtually everyone in this room doesn't have the ability to create when they roll it across the floor. It costs them, and many of the small folks, I mean, they know this much better than I. It costs them more because they're making small to compete with the millers, the larger brewers. However, this legislation did not apply just to small brewers. It applied to any brewer that wanted to come in. So potentially, a large brewer could come in and have significant price advantage. And it did not say, we have no idea where they're going to locate. It did not say where they were going to be. They could drop next to your bar and be able to produce beer because of the economies of scale that they have, move it across the floor. They don't have the shipping costs, the markup costs, all of which add, which would create, many of our members were afraid that would create unfair competition. As introduced, the bill did not restrict the number of outlets either. Thus, as introduced, retailers were concerned that a large brewery could effectively set up breweries around the state with low-cost beer. Same idea, just multiplied throughout the state. I've described that's the fundamental basis of our concern. And I think Mr. Ansari and I have had some conversations about that, and I think he understands our concerns. He might not agree with them, but he understands them, which I appreciate. And I also might remind you that these concerns aren't just in a vacuum. They're heightened and for bars over the last couple of years, and I say this not to relitigate it, but just to remind you. Over the last 5 to 6 years, we've had 0.08 go into effect. We've had a smoking ban go into effect. We've had increases in minimum wage, all at the same time as we've had the worst economic downturn in the last 50 years. Simultaneously, currently, food prices are going through the roof. So right now, we're not in a position, there's not a lot of bars and restaurants that are flush. I think Senator Cruz, shouldn't put you on the spot, who's been in this business, would agree. This is not a place where people are getting rich, and there's a lot of anxiety. People aren't going out to eat as much. So having outlined these concerns, I also want to acknowledge, and we realize, that it is not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable for a brewer to want to serve a couple of pints, as Mr. Ansari has said to everybody in the room and everybody who would listen, to serve a couple of pints to people who visit their brewery and charge for it. That's not unreasonable. The issue for us, realizing that, Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association, beer wholesalers, and a variety of other breweries around the state had a robust conversation about how to get these two ideas together. How do we ameliorate our concerns while still acknowledging the idea that on its face makes sense? You ought to be able to go to Mr. Ansari or anybody else in this place and have a beer, and they ought to be able to charge for it. So we've had these conversations, and while we may not ever be entirely comfortable with this legislation, over the last couple of days, 5, 6, 7 days, we've shared some ideas with Senator Scheid, and while she has not adopted all of our ideas, we're happy that she agreed to adopt a number of the concepts that we proposed that help alleviate or ameliorate our concerns. Under Senator Scheid's Delete Everything Amendment, a brewery may only hold one tap license. That's important to us and helps alleviate our concerns. Under Senator Scheid's amendment, it's explicit that a brewery who obtains this complies with all applicable liquor laws that apply to bars. If they want to do what we do, they have all of the other provisions that apply to us apply to them as well. That further allays our concerns. Finally, there is a cap on how big the size of the brewery that might obtain the license. That also helps to allay our concerns. There are large economic powers out there that are so far dwarf everybody's net worth in this room that those are real concerns for our, and the beer business has changed and is changing significantly nationally and internationally. In the last 3 years, and this is new, Anheuser-Busch was bought by a foreign company. Things are changing with how they do business internationally. So we support and like the craft brewery movement because we think that it is a welcome and, candidly, a diversifying effect on the beer that's available to everybody, which is good. So I want to thank Senator Scheid's willingness to make these changes. Finally, I want to say to all the breweries in Minnesota, particularly those that are here today, the retailers view you as our partners, and we hope you view us as your partners. We hope that you understand that our concerns are not born out of a desire to squelch competition or make things more difficult for you to earn a livelihood. Rather, they are concerns that exist as a result of our experience over the last few years and our concern that we do not statutorily create a competitor that has an unfair advantage. That's my testimony. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me just say before we get into a couple of questions that Mr. Magnoli, I just wanted to say that I want to thank you and how much tell you how much I appreciate your you in this process. When this issue first came up, it was very controversial, and it is not without controversy now. But I had asked Senator Scheid to do everything she could to try to accommodate your concerns, and I had also asked you to do everything you could to understand what's going on out there and what can we do to make this palatable. And you did that. And you, Mr. Bangle, you spent quite a number of meetings with me educating myself and my staff on a lot of the liquor regulation. So when it comes to that, I mean, you are a Cicerone when it comes to the liquor regulation.
Mr. Chair, but I'm...
Spell that.
If I only was Sicilian. I'm not Italian, but not Sicilian.
That's what I was going to say. We had Mr. Gianbruno from Sicily. We've got Bagnoli from...
It feels a little, Mr. Chair, a little like the United... I mean, we've had, I think, an Australian and an English...
Right.
I don't know.
West
Virginia?
West Virginia.
It's like another country.
Right. So, but... I just wanted to make that point, and I know that certainly not everything in here you're not crazy about, but I do appreciate your work in helping to at least get this down to a point where we really understood what the issues were. So I thank you for that. We have a few questions, Senator Gazelka.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Is it Bagnoli? Is that how you say it?
Yep,
close enough. Because my question is similar to that. I think the general principles of the three-tier system are important. They came about for a reason. But hearing you talk, I just want you on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being can't live with, 1 being great, where are you?
That's not really fair.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka, I would say that within the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, and there are retailers here today that are in full support, there is a wide spectrum of points of view on that. I would say that I've shared with you our concerns candidly. I hope those concerns don't come to pass. I hope that as folks have suggested around here, that this leads to all boats rising. Mr. Ansari and I have talked, and if we're about beer as well. Beer activists, I don't know what the, I'm not quite as much of a beer, never heard that expression, but so our hope is that our concerns don't come to pass. I would say within any organization of roughly 2,000 people that there are a wide variety of points of view, and they range from very, very, very concerned to the supporters in the room here of it.
So, Mr. Chair, you sound like a politician, and I'll call them five.
Yeah. Well, sir, that's a little unfair to ask them to do a number. I'll give you a pass on that. You know. Okay, Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Scheid, I think this is a good bill, and I think you obviously, you know, put it together in a way that has support, and I support it. I just want to reiterate, I think, what I'm hearing from, how do you say your name? I never...
Sarah Pasek's colleague,
Mr. Bagnoli.
Mr. Bagnoli
is concerned about the level playing field concept, which I think we're all concerned about. It's probably our main role, you know, as legislators, is to provide that. And you know, I'm reminded of a movie I saw called Iborg, where they had all these little tiny robots and real little tiny ones with razor feet, and they'd run around and they'd attack these big giant things. And they tear them to little shreds after a while because you can only take so many bites from these little robots. And we don't want to do that to the main, you know, our mainstay businesses in Minnesota either. On the other hand, we have to have balance, we have to have competition, and we have to have innovation. I think your bill does all of that, and I just, you know, think we need to be mindful of our role in the level playing field area and at the same time achieve that balance. So, thank you for doing that with your bill. I think that's what you've done here. We'll find out.
I was just thinking I might need a few Surleys before I watched a movie like that.
It just shows little ticks can take down big dogs.
And further questions from the members for Mr. Bagnoli? Thank you, Mr. Bagnoli. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify against the bill? Is there anybody that would like to testify on either side that can add something that we haven't heard yet? Seeing none then, further questions and discussion for committee members. Any other questions for Senator Scheid? Okay. Well, then seeing that, Senator Scheid...
Chairman, I want to thank Senator Vandeveer for his comments because there's a lot of wisdom in what he had to say, and I will be mindful. I would like to move then that Senate File 416, as amended, be recommended to pass, and I think it, the terminology is placed on the general register, go to the floor, and then that would be one motion. I guess the other one would be hopefully you would lay it over as well for possible inclusion.
Right. We'll do that. We'll lay it over as well. But certainly, so members, you've heard Senator Scheid's motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. And the motion prevails. And Senate File 416 is, or as amended, is recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And members, thank you. And I want to thank all the people who came out and came up of their own free will to speak, I guess I'd say from the heart. So it's greatly appreciated. We don't see that a lot with bills, so it's inspiring.
Thank you, Senator Scheid. Okay, then, Senator Pappas. I see there's a lot of folks that are less interested in Senator Pappas' brew pub bill, so what we'll do is we'll just allow for a moment for the room to clear before we start. There's a lot of people that got to get their business on.
I'm just saying.
I just had to make fun of you.
That's all right.
It's a loose lip. It's getting trashy. Have you seen this?
You're welcome to get me back anytime. Yeah.
Activists didn't see what happened. Usually they start to applaud. That
is MBA. Thank you. Thank you.
We're keeping him there.
Okay. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After that enthusiastic support, I hope that we can do as well with this bill. And this is another bill to support the craft beer industry. The bill would allow brew pubs to bottle and sell their craft beer through licensed wholesalers to Minnesota bars and liquor stores. Currently, non-Minnesota craft breweries can sell beer in Minnesota, but not these Minnesota small businesses. The craft beer market, like gourmet coffee or gourmet ice cream, is in demand, and our laws need to respond and adapt to support these small businesses and serve the consumers of their choice of craft beer. Mr. Chairman, I really have a lot of testifiers as well, and I would like to invite maybe Mr. Nelson. Excuse me. I'm looking for my testifiers. Yes, Mr. Nelson and Mr. Moore to come and join me at the table and let them tell their own stories and so that we can move quickly since we spent quite a long time on that first bill.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Tim Nelson, S-O-N. I'm from Fitger's Brew House, Brewery and Grill, Minnesota. And thank you very much, Chairman Gerlach and members. Fitger's Brew House, Brewery and Grill is located in a historic brewery. It was started in the 1880s on Lake Superior in downtown Duluth. My business partner and I opened Fitger's Brew House as a pub and restaurant in 1995, and we subsequently built a brewery in 1997. The business has continued to grow over the last 16 years to currently employ 187 staff with an annual payroll of $1.5 million.
Subdivision 7.
Our total company's total tax bill in 2009, and that includes payroll, sales, and income tax, was over $800,000. So we like to chip in on for Minnesota. We hope to continue to grow our business and employ more people in Duluth, but have hit a glass ceiling due to outdated Minnesota statute. We wouldn't have that same limit in neighboring states. Because our brewery is in a restaurant, our business is unable to compete in the open market with breweries importing into Minnesota and beyond. Many of those breweries that import into Minnesota are attached to restaurants. Yet Fitger's and other Minnesota brew pubs are not allowed to do the same. The wholesale and retail friends that sell beer. We do look at the retailers and the wholesalers as our partners. Should not fear the pub brewed beer coming into the market, but should look at it as an opportunity. Minnesotans want to enjoy Minnesota brewed beer. Minnesotans want their breweries to grow, and they want to realize the potential of the jobs that could be created and the taxes that could be paid into Minnesota coffers. Minnesota's craft brewed beer is brewed with passion. And, well, there's still some brewers here.
Barley and hops.
Really attest to how it has created jobs in this state. I guess I want to keep it short, and I just want to say please support Senate File 1013 and allow Minnesota craft brewing industry to grow. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Pappas.
Before we go on to the next testify, I was a little nervous when I came up here, and I forgot I have an A1 author's amendment.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's being passed out, members. Mr. Chairman, it's a very simple amendment. Members, just on page 1, line 25, it would allow them to retail sale. The current bill allows, it has no limit to how many barrels, how many, what would you call it, gallons, or is it barrels?
Barrels
they could sell, off sale, and this bill will put a limit of 50,000 barrels. So that was really in response to some of the concerns that were expressed.
Okay, Senator Pappas, that's the author's amendment. So Senator Pappas moves adoption of the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. And the motion prevails, and the A1 amendment is adopted. Okay, Senator Pappas. And it looks like Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Senators.
My name is John Moore.
I own Barley John's Brew Pub in New Brighton, Minnesota. And we've been looking to expand, frankly, for the last 2-3 years, but have not solely due to the Minnesota laws. So much so, the last 2 years, I've been looking across the pond, so to speak, and frankly, at this point in time, unless the law changes, that's where I'm headed. I'd rather stay here in Minnesota. I love my house in northeast Minneapolis, and I love Minnesota. But we're at a point with the land that I own. There's no way we can expand any further than opening another brew pub, which would be great, short of the amount of investment that a brew pub takes in excess to just a plain old restaurant. The other fella felt that restaurants weren't flush. We're doing just fine. It's a competition. You either compete or go sit down. We're competing. We want to compete some more, but we just want the handcuffs off so we can do it fairly. We make great product. We want access to the free market just like the breweries do and everybody else. And you guys already heard what the breweries want, so it's the same thing for us in a sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. So perhaps you had some other testifiers?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on the list, Mr. Rafakis and Mr. Hoff. No, give your testimony first.
I think, Senator Pappas, I think I heard that Mr. Lanny Hoff was taken off the agenda or wasn't here.
He can't be here.
Is that correct?
So go to Bill Murray.
No.
No, go to Mark. Or go to you.
My name is... Mr. Chairman, thanks for allowing me to speak on behalf of SF 1013. My name is Pete Rafakis. I am the founder and current president of the Minneapolis Town Hall Brewery. I'd like to add to Senator Scheid, this is the second bill that would provide jobs without raising taxes or affecting the budget in any way. I'd like to talk a little bit about the difference between a brew pub and a microbrewery. A lot was talked about with Surly and the other microbreweries who are able to distribute their beer, but they're not allowed to sell their beer on premise. Brew pubs in the state of Minnesota is the exact opposite. Brew pubs are allowed to sell on premise, but they're not allowed to reach the demand that's created in the general public. This bill allows us to do that. This bill allows us to sell to wholesalers, which would then in turn sell to liquor stores and other retail establishments and to the general public. Currently, in the state of Minnesota, with the burgeoning market, the beer market, a lot of out-of-state breweries are entering the market and quenching the thirst from all the beer enthusiasts that you saw. The state currently doesn't allow us to recognize some of that enthusiasm in the beer market. We've existed as a brew pub since 1997. We've grown every year with the exception of a couple during some of the down economic times recently. We get phone calls weekly for people that are interested in buying our beer. The simple answer is that the state of Minnesota doesn't allow us to sell it. We have interest from people out of state. We have interest from people down the street, across the street, up north in the Brainerd area, up north in the Duluth area, and down south in the Mankato area. This law will help us quench the thirst for our beer. Another anomaly of the law is that brew pubs in other states are allowed to enter our market. This is the only, or Minnesota brew pubs are the only brewery in the world that's not allowed to enter the Minnesota market. Brew pubs from Wisconsin can and do enter the market through the wholesalers. And we just want the opportunity to do the same and compete with them.
Thank you. Okay. Then I'm Senator Pappas. Is Mr. Mark Van Wee from the Muddy Pig here, or Bill Murray from the Corner Bar? We've got somebody.
Hi, Mark Van Wee. I own a little pub down the street. You're probably familiar with the Muddy Pig. I'm here to speak more to the demand side rather than the production side. I grew up in Wisconsin, and I enjoyed my first cold Pabst Blue Ribbon with my father when I was probably 8 years old. At that time, there were maybe 25 breweries in the country. In 1988, after a stint in Seattle, I moved back to Minnesota, and first thing I did was write a business plan for a brew pub, and fortunately shelved it at the time because there was no demand for the product. Summit, Sherlock's Home, and maybe, that other one in Minneapolis. Yeah, James Page, thank you. We're open, but there's just really not a demand for good beer. Finally, around 97, I opened my first place, Great Waters Brew Pub, just down the street here in St. Paul. And at that time, there were maybe 1,300 breweries in the country. In the state of Minnesota, maybe 10 brew pubs and maybe 10 microbreweries, something like that. So fast forward to today at the Muddy Pig, where we've served over 800 different draft beers from all over the country and all over the world. This beer thing's big. There's a lot of people making good beer out there. Well over 1,700 breweries in the country. And still, we only have about 11 brew pubs and maybe 10 or 11 breweries in the state. And that just doesn't seem right. And I think one of the big reasons is the cost differential. You've got a huge expense in building a brew pub, as I learned the hard way. And you don't really get to utilize your equipment. You don't get to utilize your brewer as much as you should. And I think the ability to sell beer off sale would greatly enhance their profitability, let them grow. And I think we'd start to see a lot more brew pubs popping up in the state, just as by allowing the breweries to sell a pint of beer at their breweries, I think we'll start to see a lot more microbreweries in the state as well. So I think it's a good thing for the economy, absolutely. I think it's a good thing for my customers. They demand and want really good new beer. They would love to be able to buy a pint of Town Hall beer on this side of the river, and I can't really see any downside to it, and I think it would be a great help for everyone.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you still have Great Waters?
Okay, Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's anyone else on the list that's here today.
I don't know. It's either, we have Jason Alvey that we've heard of
previously. Mr. Alvey, he testified earlier.
Yep.
Right. Mr. Alvey, you have some new information for us on this legislation. Welcome again.
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Chairman Gerlach and Senate members. You've already heard from me, but I think it's important that you hear from me again regarding this subject because I am a retailer and I only sell beer. And if we're talking about the unfair competition aspect of it, you'd think that if anyone was going to be worried about it, it would be me, but I'm not. I embrace this. My customers ask me every week, sometimes every day, if they can buy beer from Fitkers, from Town Hall, from Barley John's, and I have to tell them no. People here in Minnesota are extremely proud of the local breweries and any local products, indeed. People are always asking us if they can buy local. Sometimes it's the first things out of their mouth when they walk into the store. And I think this would certainly affect our business positively if we could sell these breweries' products. With regard to Peter's comment before about even outstate brew pubs being allowed to sell here, there's one incident, one specific case that I think is very ironic. You've all heard of Granite City. Granite City has expanded outside the border of Minnesota, and they have just started contract brewing their beer in Wisconsin and putting it in bottles, and they have just signed a deal with Wirtz Distribution here in Minnesota to sell their product in Minnesota. So what a slap in the face is that for the local brew pubs. They can't sell their beer, but this company, Granite City, is about to sell its beer. They just had to go out of Minnesota in order to make it happen. So, all right. In summation here, I think that we should be proud of them. We shouldn't be hobbling them, restricting them from succeeding. We should embrace their talent. They truly are brewing amazing world-class beers. People do travel here for it, and we should show the rest of America just how good Minnesotan beers can be. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Alvey. Are there any questions? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to share with members an idea of where some of the brew pubs are. Well, we heard from Barley John's Brew Pub. That's from Mr. Moore. That's in New Brighton. There's Boathouse Brew Pub in Ely, Minnesota. There's another one in Duluth besides Fitkers, Carmody Irish Pub in Brewing. He mentioned Granite City. The locations are in Eagan, Maple Grove, St. Louis Park, Roseville, and St. Cloud. Great Waters Brewing is in my district in St. Paul. The Herkimer Pub and Brewery in Minneapolis. McCain's Food and Brew in St. Cloud. Another Minneapolis Brew Pub, Rock Bottom. And Wellington's Backwater Brewing in Winona. So that is 11 brew pubs, and Granite City has several locations. But with some more, I think, help from us, we could have a lot more brew pubs in Minnesota like other states do.
Okay, Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Pappas, on your amendment, I'm just curious to know where the 50,000 barrels, how you arrived at that figure.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Brown, it's pretty arbitrary. It allows them, most of, like, for example, Town Hall Brewery is producing about 2,000 barrels now.
We will probably.
We'll let Pete explain.
Okay. We'll probably produce somewhere in there in the neighborhood of 1,500 to 2,000 barrels this year with our second restaurant. Originally, we had no limit whatsoever, and there was a concern from the MLBAA, similar to the concerns they had with the other larger breweries coming in and buying retail establishments. There's other concerns, and I assume we're going to hear from the opposition here shortly, and they kind of tie in with that, with concerns with the business practices of larger breweries potentially coming in to buy retail establishments and affecting the three-tier system. It's difficult to say, and I like using Surly as an example because everyone's heard of them at this point. Surly brews about 20,000 barrels of beer a year right now. Next year, if they had the capacity to do it, they could reach 100,000 barrels of beer or more. They could blow away that 250,000 barrel mark easily. Us as a brew pub have no potential in where we sit right now. If the law were to allow us, we could build a brewery similar to what Surly is planning on building, and we could fill that demand. Unless some people think I kind of have a pie in the sky view of this, but I think our beer is every bit as popular among the people that get to drink it as anyone else in the state. The problem with the laws is it doesn't allow the people that drink it outside our six-mile radius to enjoy it. And so it's arbitrary because it's an estimate of what I think we could grow to. We need a limit fairly high because there is a huge capital investment in expanding our brewery. What that number is, $50,000, we could return an investment. In addition, to make ourselves available to wholesalers don't want to run out of our product. If a wholesaler brings us on, and there's a lot of demand by retailers and the general public, we need to be able to supply that demand. Is $50,000 large enough? I don't know. It could be 50, could be 100, could be whatever.
So if I could add a little context too, on the dimensions that we're talking about, or the scale, I should say, the sense of scale. I believe I have these numbers right. The largest right now, Summit, is at 98,000 barrels a year, and Shell's is at 91, so Summit's the largest. And then the next largest is Surly. I had heard 17. I think you said about 20, so somewhere in that range. And then they drop off precipitously. I think the next largest is around 5,000 or 6,000 barrels, somewhere in there. And there's a lot of those real little ones. So that's the entire sense of scale. 50,000 is a lot. It would be the third highest. I mean, when you had amended Senator Pappas the bill at 50,000, I thought that was seemed high based on the relative scale of where the manufacturers are today. You mentioned it's arbitrary. Kind of like, and also I was just going to say, I don't know that the demand might be there for Surly to go from 17,000 to 200,000, but they couldn't do it in a year. I think there's other constraining issues on production that may not get them there in a year. But but your point is that the demand. Anyway, I just want members to know, I think, a sense of scale on some of the manufacturing amounts,
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Frakes.
You're looking at just Minnesota.
Yeah.
If you look at, and I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but if you look at Colorado, there's about 115 breweries in Colorado. A lot of people don't think brew pubs are really breweries, but we are a manufacturer, mm-hmm. and we, because of the law, we're also a retailer. But there is a lot of breweries in let's say Colorado that are right around that 20 to 40 to 50 to 60,000 barrel mark. There is a brewery in Longmont, Colorado called Oscar Blues. Oscar Blues started a year prior to Town Hall, so in 1996. They started out as a brew pub, and there was a great demand for their beer. They put a canning just a canning machine in a barn next door to their brew pub. They outgrew that in 2 years, and then they produce in just down the road right now in Colorado 36,000 barrels of beer. They are 14 years old, where Town Hall Brewery is 13. Town Hall Brewery, I am convinced, would be somewhere around at least that 30,000 barrels if the laws were different, if the laws were similar to Denver or to Colorado. Okay. And another... Not really a correction, but the governor of Colorado was the founder of a brew pub in Colorado that had the ability to distribute beer as well.
Okay. Thanks. Then any other questions from community members then? Okay, we don't have anybody else on the list. Is there anybody else in the audience that wanted to speak in favor of Senator Pappas's proposal? Okay, then let's have anybody that wants to speak in opposition. Actually, we have somebody on the list, Mr. Madigan. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for permitting me to address you this evening. My name is Mike Madigan. I'm a lawyer with Madigan, Dahl, and Harlan, and I represent the Minnesota Beer Wholesalers. In the state. I'd like to thank all of you for the opportunity to speak, and I'd like to specifically thank Senator Pappas. She did provide us with some time and an opportunity to engage in a dialogue about the goals of this bill. Also, Pete Rafakis, who testified, and Tim Nelson, and I appreciate the opportunity to engage them in a dialogue as well, and I pledge to continue that dialogue. On behalf of the Minnesota Beer Wholesalers Association, however, I do appear today in opposition to the bill for several reasons. And let me say at the outset that Minnesota beer distributors, which are family-owned businesses scattered across the state, have been the chief cheerleaders along with brewers in this state for the beer industry. So we celebrate the craft brew industry. We celebrate brew pubs. Some of my clients have been in partnership, for instance, with Shell Brewery, which is the second oldest family-owned brewery in the country for generations. So that partnership spans many, many years. And I think if they had the opportunity to speak today, you'd hear that Summit, Shell's, Surly Beer, Liftbridge, all are using distributors, and they're using their resources, both manpower and capital, to expand markets and create the kind of industry that we all want to create in this state. So we applaud that. We do have, however, concerns about unintended consequences with this bill, and we certainly don't suggest that this was intended. In particular, we fear that this bill would have some very significant and detrimental consequences on our liquor regulatory system in the state and also on the industry as a whole. As the committee knows, and Senator Scheid referred to this in her remarks, the backbone of our liquor regulatory system in the state is the three-tiered system and tied house laws. And as the senator explained, under this system, there is a segregation of function at each tier. And there are very good reasons for this that I think the committee is well aware of. Brewers are not able to own an interest, generally speaking, in a distributor or a retailer. Distributors are prohibited from owning any interest directly or indirectly in a brewer or in a retailer, and retailers obviously are prohibited from owning an interest in any other tier. The system guarantees that we have a completely transparent and accountable distribution system that is amenable to regulation by the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division, and I think they strongly support the three-tier system. And it also subjects the system to effective audit and tax collection by the Department of Revenue. And Joe Bagnoli spoke before about some of the taxes. He referred to just part of the taxes. There's a 9% sales tax on alcohol, but there's a federal excise tax and a state excise tax that's also leveled on beer. And one calculation, if you included all of the taxes on beer, are that the first 40 cents on a dollar of beer sold is devoted to taxes. It's one of the most heavily taxed products in our economy. So the state has a very significant interest in ensuring that those taxes are collected, and the three-tier system plays a significant role in that. Currently, let me get to the bill at hand. Brewers and distributors are prohibited from owning brew pubs. Brew pubs are specialty retailers. That is a retail license. And that's a privilege that's afforded. The ability to sell to members of the public is afforded only to retailers. A brew pub can sell spirits, a brew pub can sell wine, and a brew pub can sell the beer of any other brewer. And then they have all those privileges of the retail tier, but then they have an added privilege that other tiers don't have. They have the privilege to brew their own product on premise, and we're not here to argue against that. And brew pubs have thrived in Minnesota, as Senator Pappas mentioned, under that law and under that system. However, and again, it's unintended, but we fear that Senate File 1013 significantly changes the law by removing the prohibition on a brewer owning a retail license. In other words, this is a retail license, a full-blown retail license. This bill, by giving a brewpub the ability to become a production brewer and sell off-sale, transforms that specialty retailer into a brewer who can now own a full-blown retail license, which is a significant exception under the system. Our concern is with larger brewers. Right now, and I think Joe Bagnoli referred to this, Anheuser-Busch InBev is a Brazilian brewery. It controls 50% of the United States beer market. South African Breweries owns Miller Coors. They control approximately 35% of the U.S. beer market. So these truly are transglobal corporations with enormous resources. This bill would, and it's not the intent, but this bill would permit an Anheuser-Busch to buy a TGI Fridays, an Applebee's, or other chains if they put in a beer vat to brew their own beer in that particular retail establishment. And then they'd have the ability to own that retail establishment. They'd have the ability to sell spirits, wine, other beers. We think that that would have a very detrimental impact on the industry in Minnesota. We think it would have a detrimental impact on public health and safety. The amendment that was just referred to that Senator Pappas introduced at 50,000 barrels, 50,000, they're 13.667 cases in a barrel. So that translates into over 500,000 cases. That's a very significant quantity of beer. There are thousands of family-owned Minnesota retailers and distributors in this case, in this state, and they've invested in and grown their businesses based upon this regulatory system. They have created tens of thousands of jobs in this state, and these are high-quality jobs. This bill, the unintended consequences of this bill and deregulating the industry, undermining the three-tier system, puts those businesses and jobs in jeopardy. Beyond these regulatory and industry consequences, we're also concerned that the bill, if passed, might be challenged on constitutional grounds, and I've engaged legislative counsel in this discussion as well as Senator Pappas. As a lawyer, I represent the National Beer Wholesalers Association, and I've gotten involved in some of these legal challenges. This fear is a very real fear. In the last 6 years, 27 states have had their state liquor laws challenged in court. And the cost to the states at a time when states are extremely cash-strapped, as Minnesota is, runs in the millions of dollars. And those lawsuits are brought by folks that are interested in usurping the legislative function and are attempting to essentially deregulate through the courts system. Most of these suits have been brought under the Dormant Commerce Clause of the Constitution, and I won't bore the committee with a lengthy discussion about it, but I'd like to frame the issue so you can understand why we are concerned. The Dormant Commerce Clause prohibits a state from discriminating in its laws between in-state and out-of-state entities. A brew pub, by definition, is a Minnesota business because in order to be a retailer in this state and sell on sale, you obviously have to be located in Minnesota. In essence, under this bill, a brew pub that's interested in selling off sale would be transformed from a retailer, a specialty retailer, into a Minnesota production brewer who is permitted to hold a full-blown retail license. An out-of-state brewer may argue that they are being discriminated against under Minnesota law because a Minnesota brewer is permitted to have a full-blown retail license at their production facility, while an out-of-state brewer is prohibited from owning retail ownership retail establishments outright. And the requirement of the VAT may be considered constitutionally irrelevant because that having a VAT and brewing your own beer is not relevant to selling spirits. It's not relevant to selling wine, it's not relevant to selling the beers of other breweries. And again, just to give you an example of why we're fearful of this, and this is not an esoteric concern, in the state of Illinois, they have a law that permits in-state breweries to distribute, self-distribute, prohibits out-of-state breweries from self-distributing. Anheuser-Busch, the largest brewer in the world, selling 50% of the beer in the United States, challenged that law under the Dormant Commerce Clause, succeeded in that effort. The law was struck down. Now, there are two ways that you can remedy discrimination. You could either permit everybody to do it or you can prohibit everybody to do it. And the court chose the remedy that was least disruptive to the regulatory system and held that no brewer could self-distribute under that system. The legislature, the General Assembly in Illinois, is now looking at rectifying that with volume cap exceptions, but Anheuser-Busch has brought a legion of lobbyists in to argue that they should be able to do that. Now, that would not be beneficial to distributors in Illinois. It would not be beneficial to retailers, I would suggest, in Illinois. It would only benefit the shareholders of Anheuser-Busch. So I'm not here to suggest that this was the intention of the authors. We're certainly willing to continue to engage in this dialogue, but we feel that these fears are well-founded. And we would urge the committee to oppose the bill in its present form.
Mr. Chair, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Madigan. Senator Scheid.
Chairman, I have a question, or a couple questions actually for Mr. Madigan. I think you said that I understand the Dormant Commerce Clause as much as I want to.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to go into that a whole lot, but the irony is that a brew pub located in Wisconsin can sell their beer at retail in Minnesota today. And so you're talking about suing under the Commerce Clause because Minnesota did something that out-of-state brewers couldn't, but it's exactly the opposite.
Right.
Can you balance that with what your
right.
concerns?
Senator, you're absolutely right. The laws in each state regarding alcohol are different. And there's good reasons for that, I would submit. Alcohol is different than other products. If you over-promote or over-consume potato chips and butter, you're going to have different consequences than if you over-promote and over-consume alcohol. I mean, the irony is it's well-intentioned, but we're deregulating in some instances, and yet on the other hand, we're starting to look at draconian-type measures like interlock devices being mandated in cars because we're concerned about those consequences. And sometimes I fear in our state, from a public policy perspective, those two goals are contradictory. In any event, alcohol is different. It's regulated. The way Manhattan feels about about alcohol and regulating alcohol is different than Kansas, is different than Colorado, than California, Oregon, or Washington, for instance. And the decision was made when the 21st Amendment was passed, repealing prohibition, that states should be the primary authority for regulating alcohol in order to respect those local differences. And so the state is the primary authority, and the thought was the regulation of alcohol needs to respect those local norms and standards. So it's true that Wisconsin, in some respects, is more liberal. I'm not suggesting this is the case, but let me point something out. Wisconsin has 7 times the number of retail outlets than Minnesota does. Is that a good thing from a public policy perspective? I would argue all alcohol regulation is a balance between control on the one hand, responsible control on the one hand, and competition on the other. I believe Minnesota's found the appropriate balance. I don't think that Wisconsin has necessarily the appropriate balance. The alcohol-related accident rate in Wisconsin is anywhere from 25 to 50% higher than Minnesota. Now, there are a lot of reasons for that, but I think their regulatory scheme plays a role in that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, if I just might, but I don't think it has anything to do with Wisconsin law. I think the imbalance has everything to do with Minnesota law. Wisconsin, I don't know what their law is regarding, you know, the bottling or canning of a brew pub's product to sell in another state. I believe that a Minnesota business would be free to go to Wisconsin. I think we heard that Granite City is going to bottle or whatever they're doing in another state to come back.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Rafakis, maybe.
That's not true.
Oh.
Minnesota law does not allow, someone's going to have to come out and say, no, this can't happen. But Minnesota does not allow a brewery to exist outside the state of Minnesota and to own a brew pub in the state of Minnesota. That I'm not familiar with what they're doing. I mean, there's some things with contract brewing and things that you can do under that nature. Now, I will suggest there is an example of a brewery just recently in November of 2010. Rock Bottom was merged with Gordon Biersch. Gordon Biersch is a brew pub related company. Although they also have a brewery, a fairly large brewery in California, and someone's going to have to go look at that. I would suggest that the public doesn't care. I don't think Mr. Madigan knows about that instance of the law at this point in time. I agree with Mr. Madigan that it's beneficial for the states to exercise the laws and to develop their laws the best they see fit within that state. And what I'm saying, why I'm testifying here, is I don't think the way the law is written in the state of Minnesota is beneficial to Minnesota businesses. We are a small business that that has the opportunity to grow. There's other laws in place to govern what's legal and what's not legal with the respect to alcohol. I can't get my car after drinking and have a blood alcohol level over 0.08. And if I get in my car and do so, no matter which retail establishment, whether I do it in Wisconsin or whether I do it in Minnesota, I'm breaking the law, and I will be punished for that. It's not the three-tier system to make those calls. I think it's a red herring to even bring up the constitutionality of it. If you're concerned with the constitutionality of this bill, fix it. And to fix it, you allow breweries outside the state to own retailers, and it's fixed. And the limitations that we've put on the bill, the amendment that Senator Pappas said, allows us to limit the purchase of brew pubs or retail establishments to smaller breweries. We do not, as a company, have the ability or the capital to go out and make these purchases. And the majority of the breweries in the United States do not. I think the limitations would hold up in court. I don't think it's unconstitutional. But if it is, let's fix the bill and let's move it forward.
Mr. Madigan, I sense you want to respond.
Yes. First of all, the vast majority of states do not permit brew pubs to sell off sale. There are some that do. The vast majority do not. So this is an exception from the norm. I disagree that this law is not vulnerable to a legal challenge under the Granholm decision. The Granholm decision was sort of the seminal case decided in 2005 by the United States Supreme Court. I submitted an amicus brief in that case on behalf of the National Beer Wholesalers Association. They found, without getting into all the details, but Mr. Sang is familiar with it, they held that a physical presence requirement, which in essence is what this brew pub bill will do, is vulnerable and invalid under the Dormant Commerce Clause. So these concerns, from a legal standpoint, I believe are well-founded. I also think that the consequences that we fear could very well occur, with very significant impact on the industry as a whole and on our regulatory system. I will respond to the Granite City situation, Senator, because I just learned about that. Granite City, the company, the brewer that is brewing Granite City is not the brew pub. There's completely separate ownership between whatever company is brewing. I believe it's called Associated Brewing, is my understanding. So there is no this. They are following the law, and there's a complete separation of ownership between the brewer and the brew pub. I am not aware of any brew pub that's owned by a brewer in Minnesota. If it is, it's my understanding of the law that would be illegal, and it should be addressed immediately, but I'm not aware of any situations where that exists.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Pappas, as I look at the title on this bill, it says a bill for an act relating to liquor, authorizing brew pubs to sell malt liquor to licensed wholesalers for distribution to other retail licensees without limit. Okay, so in that, it seems to me that does not violate what Mr. Madigan is speaking to, because in that case, the brew pubs would be selling their beer to the wholesaler, who would then send it to retailers. It sounds like where we're getting into this issue is a little farther down in Section D, where it says retail sale at on sale or off sale. So is it the or off sale that's causing the problem? And then also I think the drafting in that Section D doesn't make very good grammatical sense.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonoff, at some point, maybe during the interim, we need to rewrite all our liquor laws so that they are easier to understand and make more sense. I often have to go, okay, Mr. Stang, what does that mean?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Pappas, it says that any one licensed premises is, is plural, so I don't understand how any one would be a plural, but I must be missing.
Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt, Senator Bonoff. I think I can put it a little bit in a nutshell. I've been trying to describe what a brew pub does over the course of 13 years. Brew pubs are restricted on a production limit to 3,500 barrels of beer a year. Recently, I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, the laws were changed that would allow brew pubs to own an additional license, another retail spot, and we would be able to distribute to that retail license, so another restaurant. It didn't necessarily have to be a brew pub, it just had to have a retail license. And so current statutes allow us as a brew pub to distribute to our other restaurants up to 3,500 barrels of beer. And just to give an idea of what we're selling, we have two restaurants, and we're going to be, like I said, between, depending on how business is, between 1,500 and 2,000 barrels. So you're looking at the ability of possibly being able to open 2 to 4 restaurants, and that's what a brew pub can do, up to 3,500 barrels. SF 1013 would allow us to access the other markets and sell to wholesalers and then throughout other retail establishments.
But, Mr. Chair, and Senator Pappas, here it says on sale or off sale. So is that where – I'm still not understanding from Mr. Madigan's point. I'm thinking that's where we have the problem, that those few words essentially – turn the brew pub into a potential retailer. Is that
no? The brew, Mr. Chairman, the brew pub is a retailer. I mean, that you go in the brew pub, you have dinner, you right. drink the beer.
That's on sale.
That's on sale on premises, on sale. And actually, you can take a growler, then a fresh beer, and it'll last a few days in your refrigerator. What they're saying, though, is in order to grow their business, we really need to look seriously about how we deal with this kind of industry. And in order, the only way they can grow their business, other than opening a few other restaurants, which is expensive and, you know, limited market, is to sell to the wholesalers, is to bottle or can, and through the wholesale system, so they're not a wholesaler, and so that liquor stores and other and bars can sell their product like they can sell craft beers from other states.
Well, Mr. Chair, and then Mr. Madigan, if that's really all this does, then I don't understand how that would violate the three-tier system because, in fact, it's still using the wholesale right. part of the three-tier system. So could you address that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff, a brew pub, the three-tier system prohibits one tier from owning an interest in another tier. A brew pub is a retailer. A production brewer is a brewer. This, right now, under our current law, a brew pub is a retailer. Now, they have the ability, a special privilege, to brew a vat of beer that they can sell on premise, but as a retailer, they can sell that product, they can sell the product of any other brewer, they can sell wine, and they can sell spirits. This bill would transform a brew pub, i.e. a retailer, into a production brewer, into a brewer, meaning that a brewer can hold a retail license. That is the violation of the three-tier system. If a Minnesota brewer can own a retailer, our fear under the Dormant Commerce Clause is that an outside brewer will say, we are denied under the three-tier system the right to hold a retail license. That's discriminatory under the Dormant Commerce Clause and challenge it on that basis. Distributors cannot own an interest in a retailer. They can't sell at retail. Distributors can't brew. Brewers, other than brew pubs and other than the taproom license, which we don't oppose, can't invade the other tiers. What's happening is the reason why we have all of these lawsuits is we have these well-intentioned exceptions that have begun to riddle our entire regulatory system. And at some point, you pull a thread that starts to unravel the entire fabric. And we're getting, in my judgment, very, very close. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't look at our liquor laws and modify them from time to time, but I think we need to do it very carefully. And with this particular proposal, we have some real concerns in that regard.
And, Mr. Chair, and then I'll be done. But I guess, Senator Pappas, Mr. Madigan, the distinction, as I understand it, that doesn't really fit with what you're saying is that, yes, they're a retailer, but they're a restaurant. They're on sale. So they're not selling their beer in a liquor store environment. It's for the most part, it's just on premise other than this growler they can take home. So to me, that still does not fly in the face of our traditional three-tier system. I can hear how you've perceived it, and so I can see how you'd look at it that way. I think there is more than one way to look at it.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. One last comment, please, Mr. Chairman. I am in full support of, to a certain extent, the three-tier system, because it enables us to reach several million people, not in the state of Minnesota, but all over the country. So I support the three-tier system. I support the three-tier system until it tells us what products can compete fairly in the market. And that's what our three-tier system is doing right now. Like I said, every brewery in the world can enter Minnesota. Every brewery with the exception of Minnesota Brew Pubs. And unlike Mr. Madigan, we do have a retail license. And we also do have a manufacturer's license. We pay excise tax to the federal government, just like every other manufacturer of beer. We would like to grow to a point where we could pay excise tax to the state of Minnesota. But right now, we can't exceed 3,500 barrels.
Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, the three-tier emperor has no clothes. That's the problem here. I'm relatively new to this because I've not studied the way alcohol is distributed in the state. But we've got this system, as I've learned about over the course of the last several weeks here, that supposedly everybody likes until they don't, and they want to get around it. And so it strikes me that conversation has to be had to make sense of any of this. And, you know, this idea that it makes sense that a Wisconsin brewer can do something in the state of Minnesota that a Minnesota brewer, you know, that's an idea that's so absurd only an intellectual can believe it. Why wouldn't we take a look at, you know, the whole system to me just doesn't make sense. I know that's not what we're here to talk about today, but it's late, so I felt like saying it.
Glad you got that out of your system, Senator Thompson. Senator Brown has something.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the three-tier emperor won't have any clothes if we allow the unraveling to begin. So I think we need to be very serious about protecting the three-tier system because it works in Minnesota. And after hearing Mr. Madigan's testimony, I guess I would have real serious concerns in voting in favor of this bill because I hear, well, we made this exception here and we made this exception here, and I'm hearing that we want to make one more exception, and the more we make, that's the unraveling of the three-tier system. So in my point of view, I don't see how I could vote in favor of this bill because I do see it as a threat to the three-tier system.
Senator Thompson.
Senator Gerlach, to that point, you know, Senator Brown, I agree with your idea that if we're going to have a three-tier system because we believe it's the right thing, then let's have a three-tier system and not spend late nights here figuring out how to pretend we really kind of want it when we really don't. But all I'm saying is I think we need to come up with some system that makes sense given current sentiments about the production and distribution of alcohol. And what I'm hearing is everybody saying, oh, we like the three-tier system, except here we don't, and there we don't, and for this we don't. Well, then we really don't like the three-tier system, it seems to me. And if we do, I agree with Senator Brown. Then let's knock off the exceptions, take this bill down with the rest of them, and move on. But if we're going to find all of these kinds of things we need to do to alleviate the problems with the three-tier system, then maybe the problem is the three-tier system.
Well, Senator Thompson, no, I love my wife, except for this little piece over here. He said, I'm working on all those things, and she's working on mine. But, you know,
if we were in a courtroom, you would ask to have that stricken from the record.
Well, Senator Thompson, your testimony makes me think of all my constituents want us to cut the budget except for the one area they're concerned about.
You got it.
Senator Vandiver. Senator Vandiver.
I think we have to do things differently, however. And in order to do that, maybe we need to give the tiers that feel they're getting shorted something. If we're going to allow, it seems like crossing tiers is what's causing the problem. And we want to do that now. We have to do that if we're going to cultivate this new industry, in my view. And cultivating the new industry becomes a priority. So the question is, how can we buy off, like we do here, that's what we do, the group that's being run? And that is to say, because we have locked them in a position, and we've surrounded them with rules, so if we're going to now let somebody else do what they're doing, then we need to somehow lighten the load on the group that we are supposedly wronging or infringing on, because that's what I'm hearing is we have this structure. I mean, who's paying the $30,000 license fee here in this bill? I mean, I don't know who they are, and I'm not sure I understand the industry enough, but somebody is. And the point is they're buying something for that. And I think what you're saying is, or what I'm hearing is, we're impinging on that. So, you know, what they bought, their turf, and they've set up structured invested capital. I mean, there's a lot of jobs in this, in their tier, and that needs to be protected. I can appreciate that. However, we do need to do things differently. And so we're going to have to figure out some way to unregulate the person that or deal with the fact that we're harming somebody. I know it's late, and I wanted to say that.
Well, Senator Brown.
Just to follow up on that, I would agree that for me to be comfortable moving forward on this, we need more discussion in this area, because I'm just not comfortable moving forward on this bill at this point.
Somewhat to that, let me ask this. On the previous Senator Scheid's bill, on the Surly bill, we spent several months, and again, we all but forced people in the room and kind of locked the door, almost, not quite, when we didn't quite get to that. But they were able to come up with something that neither side loved, but was legislation that it appears to be supported by a number of folks. In this case, Mr. Madigan, I don't know if this is the right language. I do sense that, I mean, that there is a legitimate issue here. There's no question about that. But I don't know if this is the right language. And I know, Senator Pappas, this bill was introduced about 2 weeks ago.
We did it 2 years ago.
We did it.
You did do it?
Excuse me, Senator Gerlach. We did it 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
We introduced it. It was tabled by Senator Scheid. For various reasons, no one came to the table to discuss it. I believe that if we table this again, we'll be here next year discussing the exact same thing. There is, I agree with Senator Thompson. You know, there is a place for the three-tier system, and that place is to distribute beer. There's laws in place to govern how people consume it and what they can do when they're on it. I think that as far as tracking, right now, brewpubs are completely void of the three-tier system with the exception of purchasing beer for retail. Brew pubs count their own barrelage, so the production, they count it, and they report it to the federal government for excise tax purposes. If this bill were to pass, we would distribute beer through wholesalers, and they would start counting it too, and there would be a check there. But right now, we are governed by the federal government, and we are governed by self-government. So to call the three-tier system the backbone of the regulatory services in the United States completely voids brew pubs. They're not the backbone in regulatory services for brew pubs. They would be, I guess, if we were able to distribute through them. I'm a proponent of the three-tier system in that it allows us to access markets, and that's what it should be in this form at this point.
Okay, Mr. Madigan, I know you want to respond to that, but if I could ask you. I think they have a legitimate issue. Their fear is that if this continues on, that it's just going to continue on to an oblivion. Do you think that there's something here? Is there a commitment to work on, to come up with something that works from you that can be done? I know I've had conversations with others that have said that could be done. So what is your take on that?
A couple of things. We're always willing to continue the dialogue. And I'll make that commitment to the chair and to the committee. There are a couple of misperceptions that I would like to clarify. Under Minnesota law, no brewer can own a retailer. No brewer, whether they're in Wisconsin or California, no brewer can. This bill would permit brewers to own retailers. That's the nature of our concern. This is not an insignificant change under the system, and it's important for the committee to understand that. Mr. Rafakis says distributors just need to distribute. We're okay with that. We haven't come to you, notwithstanding all the jobs that we create and the fact that these folks have been in businesses for generations, for 75 years. We're not asking for the right to retail. We're not asking for the right to brew. These businesses have been able to survive and continue. So have brew pubs under the current law. The difference here is that they're asking to fulfill the function of another tier. This change is not insignificant. Now, having said that, we're willing to continue to engage in the dialogue, but the potential consequences are not insignificant.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Chamberlain.
Mr. Madigan, would you say you're for commerce or against commerce?
We're in favor of commerce. This is a very competitive industry right now.
And Mr. Madigan, you would also agree, perhaps, that our three-tier system belongs in the ash heap of history, correct?
No, sir. Mr. Chair, Senator, I do not.
You don't?
I do not.
But you agree with competition?
Mr. Chair, Senator, if you believe that alcohol is like any other product and that it doesn't need to be regulated, then the view that you're espousing is a view consistent with that.
Mr. Madigan, did I say what shouldn't be regulated? We should have competition in the retail wholesale market.
Let's let Mr. Madigan finish.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Senator, I honestly believe, and I think any industry member will tell you, this is an incredibly competitive market. Part of the reason why we haven't seen the expansion of brewers and brew pubs, and I think Ted Marty from Shell's and Mark Stutrud from Summit will tell you this, is not because of the laws we have in this state. It's because it's a very competitive market at the brewer level, it's a competitive market at the distributor level, and it's a competitive market at the retailer level. We heard that from Mr. Bagnoli. So I don't believe that I honestly don't believe, sir, that our regulations are inhibiting competition in any way. I think our regulatory system has achieved that balance between appropriate control on the one hand and competition on the other, which is not to suggest, sir, that the legislature shouldn't address changing circumstances or revisit the law. But I really believe that our system as a whole is a system that works. And the last point I make on that is our consumption rates. I think what we want is a competitive market, but moderate responsible consumption. Beer consumption in Minnesota is at or below the national average. Beer prices in Minnesota are at or below the national average. Alcohol-related accidents rates are about 25%, the last statistics I saw, lower than the national average. So there are a lot of good things that we've achieved, I think, with this system.
Senator Dames?
Mr. Chair, it appears to me that listening to the conversation here that there's a lot of differences of opinion of how this bill will and will not affect what we're talking about, and I'm not so sure that we aren't with a bill that needs some continuous work, and maybe we need to have a group get together and try to work this out, like with the Surly bill, so we can come with a general consensus and something that maybe the majority of the parties can agree with and at least come up with something that somewhat will work for everybody.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, if all the parties would be willing to work on this and under a very short timeline, because our session is moving along, but I think it's really important that we take action this year because we have this we're trying to build an industry here of small breweries, microbreweries, and brew pubs, and we have great potential because, you know, a lot of standard beer is down. But craft brews are up.
there's a great demand. We heard all the testifiers talk about that the demand is really up, that it people enjoy going to these brew pubs and would like to go to breweries and buy the craft beer. And that's what we should be about in Minnesota, is we should be about supporting Minnesota industries, whether it's beer or whether it's wine or whether it's agricultural products or it's manufacturers or whatever it is. I mean, I think that's all important, and I think that's something that we on a very bipartisan level can really agree on, is that we support Minnesota businesses. And these are Minnesota businesses that are just trying to survive or just trying to expand, are trying to provide a service that there's a demand there for. And I think that within reason, you know, the three-tier system has been in place since 1932, and it's served us well. But now we have to maybe adjust with the times. And we can make small or medium-sized adjustments without tearing the system apart. But we've got to respond to Minnesota businesses. And that's all I'm begging us to do. And so I hope that the players who are interested, the stakeholders that are interested, will in good faith come to the table and negotiate this under a short timeline. But you have the, you know, we have the Surly bill as a model for the breweries, and we need to do a similar thing for the brew pubs.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Pappas. Then I think without objection, the chair will lay over Senate file 1013 over for possible inclusion into the omnibus liquor bill.
All right. Thank you, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Chamberlain, you're up now. Senator Pappas may have some questions for you. Well, actually, you're right.
Right.
She'll have some softballs for you. Okay. And Senator Chamberlain,
my idea.
Do you have the A2 amendment? Is that correct? Welcome, Senator Chamberlain. Why don't we put your author's amendment on right away, if you'd like to do that?
Yes, please. It's A2, correct?
So, Senator Chamberlain moves the A2 amendment to Senate file
976.
Right here, 976. It's an author's amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The A2 amendment is adopted. So, Senator Chamberlain, your bill as amended.
This will be quick and painless. White Bear Township is a township in Ramsey County, and currently Ramsey, they have three licensed liquor establishments in the township. Currently, Ramsey County issues those and administers those for the township. And in a nutshell, what the township wants is to just the township does most of the work, practically. They do most of the work for it, administer it. Not all townships can do that, so we're asking for an exception here, that the township be allowed to issue any licenses in accordance with 340A in Ramsey County. So it just transfers the work to where it's already being done.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted White Bear Township is a very large township, isn't it?
Or yes, it's pretty significant.
Do we allow other townships to do this?
I'm sorry, Senator Scheid. I was.
No, Mr. Chairman, I was asking Senator Chamberlain if White Bear Township is a very large township. I thought it was.
What's the population, Bill?
Approximately 12,000.
12,000, yeah.
For a township. So, yeah, it seems, sounds like they certainly have the capacity or the capability to.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair.
Senator Chamberlain.
It's a large township. They do most of the work from already. And Ramsey County did sign a resolution saying it was okay to transfer that responsibility to the township. And Mr. Short could speak to it if anybody has any questions as well.
Welcome.
My name is, pardon my hoarseness, please. My name is Bill Short. I'm the town's clerk treasurer. And as the senator indicated, S-H-O-R-T. indicated, we are the largest township in the state by quite some margin. We are the only township in Ramsey County. And coincidentally, we provide all the municipal services for a neighboring city of Gem Lake. We issue their liquor licenses for them, but we can't issue them for ourselves. And we'd like to take care of that. Thank you.
Okay.
Aren't we something?
Senator Chairman, do you have any other testifiers?
Mr. Chair, no.
Okay. Members, any questions? Well, then, seeing none, then without objection, the chair will lay over Senate File 976 to be placed into the ash heap of history.
Mr. Chair, there's no comment to your leadership on the committee.
I'm sorry. We'll revise that motion. But without objection, the chair will lay over Senate File 976 over for possible inclusion into the omnibus liquor bill. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Chamberlain. Senator Latz. I know, members, it's getting late, and it was cleared a bit. Finish up the final bill for the evening. Welcome, Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know my position on smoking. I hope the ash heap is not a reference I have to worry about. Mr. Chairman, I ask for the committee's consideration of support for Senate File 323. This would allow an exclusive liquor store to sell, in addition to the 13 currently authorized product categories, clothing marked with its own specific name, brand, or identifying logo. Nothing else, no other logos, no other brands, just their own. This matter comes before you at the request of my constituent, who you've already heard from, the owner of the Four Firkins Lagers and Wine Store in St. Louis Park, Jason Alvey. And I will tell you, I have been to his store, and if I knew much about beer, I'm sure I would have been frothing at the mouth in his store. However, I don't know enough about beer really to appreciate everything that he had there. But I think we learned earlier in this hearing that there are many aficionados or cicerones who do. And it's important to be able to build a brand name, not just of the products that you sell, but also of your establishment. And there are excellent reasons why being able to brand your own store name is a good way to do that. From what I know about the system, this would not in any way infringe upon others' territory. It is a very limited exception. It would only be sold at their location to their own customers who come in and decide that they want to walk around with a Four Firkins logo or whatever the establishment's logo happens to be. So as you can see from the bill, there is a list of limited items beyond alcohol alone that these stores are allowed to sell. We would respectfully suggest that this addition to that list is appropriate and does not do any damage to any of the other lines that are drawn or borders that are created in Minnesota statute or any structures are already established. With that, I'd like to ask Mr. Alvey to add his thoughts.
Mr. Ottery.
Thank you, Senator Latz, Chairman Gerlach, and Senate members. I know it's late. I appreciate you staying back to listen to me yet again. I promise this is the last time you'll have to hear me tonight. I am, as you know, I own a specialty beer store And while this is about my store, it's also about other small family-owned businesses. You know, I started my store with nothing. I've grown it into a successful, vibrant business with a large following of very loyal customers and friends. We've become part of the community by sponsoring various sporting teams, giving to charities, and supporting local police events. I'm very proud of what we do, but we're by no means unique. All over the state, there are small family-owned liquor stores just like mine who have loyal customer bases and provide not only beer, wine, and liquor, but also revenue and donation dollars to their cities. Our customers and friends enjoy our store so much that they ask us if they can buy T-shirts or cycling jerseys or hats that say Four Firkins, and currently that is illegal for me to do so. To be clear, as Senator Latz has said, I'm not asking to sell Surly shirts or Summit shirts or anything else. It's just Four Firkins branded apparel. I'm aware that we had some grocery stores in opposition to this. I can't for the life of me think why they feel threatened by this. This is self-promotion. That's it. I'm not going to give you the whole song and dance here tonight. I think you get the gist of it. But I would like to say it is a very cost-effective way to advertise as a small business owner. Advertising in print and media is extremely expensive and requires large commitment. Making a bunch of T-shirts is very inexpensively done, and the wearer of such a T-shirt is often going to be able to speak very well of your store, and word of mouth is the best form of advertising there is. Aside from that, though, it is very much a matter of pride for me. Myself and other small business owners take a great deal of pride in our businesses, and to actually have a customer want to wear something with our logo on it is just about the best kind of praise we could ever hope for. So I ask you to do away with this old law and let small business owners like myself and hundreds of others around this state proudly sell our own branded apparel to our customers. Thank you again for your time tonight.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, and I might explain to Mr. Alvey, I think I understand that the grocer's perspective has to do with their request over the years to be able to sell wine as they do in many other states, and they know that liquor stores have, you know, increasingly sold other things. I think it was Senator Latz who had item 12, the devices for storage. Weren't those plexiglass? Well, that was a constituent of yours.
That was. No.
And you had the pedal pubs as well, Senator Latz. You've just been working away on our law here.
I'm a small business advocate, Senator.
But I think, and Mr. Alvey, Chairman, that I think would explain, but I can see no other reason really to keep you from selling those shirts. But you do have to tell me, what's a firkin?
It's an old English word for a measurement of beer. It's about 9 gallons. Yeah. So it's a barrel about this big, and if you put four of them together, it fills up a full-size barrel, hence Four Firkins.
So then you have – so Four Firkins make a barrel?
A barrel of beer, yep.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, cute.
Senator Gazelka. Senator Gazelka first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Alvey, if it was just your voice, for sure I'd support this. I mean, I love the accent.
Thank you.
You know, my question, and then I have a follow-up comment. So would you support wine or craft beer in a grocery store?
Yeah. You know, that is a fair enough question, and my answer may surprise you. Let me preface it by saying that the apparel I seek to sell could be regarded as liquor specific because it has my logo on it, and that is the logo of a liquor store. So that would fit in with the other 13 items that are on this list. They're all related to liquor. Grocery stores already have liquor stores. They just go through a separate entrance. I am somewhat unique in my views. I know that most liquor stores absolutely loathe the idea of grocery stores selling liquor and wine. I don't think it will affect businesses like mine and other businesses that have they pride themselves on customer service, and the products that they sell are always going to be much more varied and higher end than what you'll get in the aisle at Cub Foods. Cub Foods is never going to offer any customer service. If anything, having wine and liquor in grocery stores will make stores like mine and other stores similar to mine look better. So bring it on.
Mr. Chairman, it wasn't when I needed him. I'm not going there.
We're not asking for a friendly amendment.
No.
Senator Gazelka has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not trying to be smart, and frankly, I have opposed in the past wine and grocery stores.
Sure.
My concern is that we get to that point of the straw that broke the camel's back, where they finally say enough is enough, and let's skip the exclusive liquor store and let everybody do what they want to do. That's my concern. And Senator Latz, this is your third one, so you're going to be responsible if it ever tips over. You're adding on it every year. And so that's just my comment. We're going to reach a point, and you know whether we're there or not with this last little straw, I don't know, but I'm concerned about that.
Mr. Chair and Senator Gazelka.
Thank you.
I would argue that we're pretty far from that straw. what was I going to say? Oh, I've
nice
totally
guy.
Blanked.
Mr. Alvey, you don't have to respond to every question. Or every statement.
I thought I had a good point, and I totally lost it.
Yeah. Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Latz, just two questions. Are microbreweries and brew pubs allowed to sell specific clothing and memorabilia? And second one, please tell me this is not a threat to the three-tier system.
Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Brown, I do not know the answer to the first question.
I do.
Maybe Jason does or council would. And it's the second question. I don't see how this would affect the three-tier system at all unless there are three tiers for selling T-shirts with logos on them.
Right.
Okay, to the first question, do we know?
Yes.
Well, somebody had raised their hand in the back there.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, you do.
That was going to be the comment that I spaced on. Breweries, Minnesotan microbreweries, are allowed to sell T-shirts. You saw a bunch of Surly T-shirts in here tonight. And Minnesota bars are allowed to sell T-shirts. Somewhere along the way, nobody's bothered to repeal this law for liquor stores. And, even wineries can sell T-shirts. I think somebody wearing a Four Firkins T-shirt would have about as much negative effect on the general populace as somebody wearing their favorite Vineyards T-shirt. All these other T-shirts are legal, and people are wearing them right now. So.
Okay. And members, the letter that Senator Scheid was referring to was included in your packets from the Minnesota Grocers Association. If you haven't seen that already, that's what was referenced. Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Alvey, perhaps as some people move a Vikings bill forward, which I have no comment on at the moment, and they have a sports memorabilia tax, you might consider your T-shirts as being another avenue for that.
I'm not quite sure what to say about
okay.
It's getting really late now.
Senator Thompson, you had something.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And Mr. Alvey, my perception in your testimony here tonight is you're a little bit of an outlier as far as the business that you're in. You seem pretty open to the expansion of the industry and competition. Many of your colleagues that I've heard here testify throughout the course of the Commerce Committee don't agree in it. Isn't it fair to say that for a lot they really kind of do want to maintain the status quo in terms of not letting anyone get into their business, but this is an example of them wanting to get into other people's business?
You know, on most issues, most of the retailers here would disagree with me. But on this issue, I know for a fact that they would like this to happen. There are retailers out there that are currently selling shirts, even though they're not supposed to be. So,
Mr. Chair, for a follow-up, Mr. Alvey, I understand this benefits the liquor stores. What I'm saying is I have some sympathy for you because you seem to me to be intellectually honest. You've been open this evening to all of these other things where it seems like most of your colleagues – they want to see the liquor stores be able to do what they want to do, but restrict non-liquor store businesses from competing with them. Seems like they kind of want it both ways.
Sure, I can see where you're coming from.
Well,
okay.
Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Well, to that point, Senator Latz.
To that point, I mean, there's a much bigger discussion here, which I'm afraid to get too caught up in.
Oh, we've already done that.
Yeah. There's... there's a whole discussion about wine in grocery stores and arguments that affected that, which are more than just about line drawing and protecting turf, if you will, about access to alcohol, about particularly minors and many who are underage who work in grocery stores and have access to the stocks and warehouses and everything else. So my point there is not to try to resolve that or have that debate, but is to say that it's more, I think the discussion there is much broader than just about whether or not a small liquor store is going to encroach on Cub Foods territory by being able to sell their own labeled brands or on Old Navy's territory or those two. Old Navy's not going to sell Four Firkins T-shirts, but Four Firkins could. So I'm not even sure there'd be much competition, if any, in all those other areas, let alone in the other retail, the grocery stores.
We'll get to Senator Bonif in a moment, but I want to ask Mr. Alvey, you would like to do this in your store.
Yes.
And you brought this to Senator Latz because he's your legislator. There's a lot of liquor stores. I mean, are you a member of MLBA, I assume? Or
I
you're
am not?
Not. You're not, so you're an independent member. Are there other, is there anybody else? Is there any kind of a coalition? Is there other people, or is this just you want to do this in your store?
At this point, yes, it's just me. I have no doubt that other small family-owned businesses would certainly take advantage of this if they were able to. But right now, yes, there's. I don't have anyone else here to testify for me, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And Senator Bonif.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to clarify where my comment was coming from on the taxes, that I've been a longtime supporter of expanding the tax, getting rid of the clothing exemption. And so I was thinking that now we're going to have another piece of something in his store that isn't going to be taxed, and I hate to leave that on the table. So I was trying to find a way to get at that.
Okay. Okay. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to comment either for or against this proposal? Yes, sir. Please come forward.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bob.
If you could please step up to the microphone and please just have a seat and give us your name and who you represent.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, my name is Bob Melson, and I do not want to speak against this or any of the other bills that were presented today. But I do.
I'm sorry. Is your testimony directly related to the bill that we're on right now?
No.
Okay.
And that's
then
why
I'm going to have to. We'll have to stick with the particular matter before the committee.
And I wanted to be very clear about that.
Okay. I appreciate that. Okay. But we do have to stick with the matter we're on. So, okay. And I'll ask: is there anybody in the audience that specifically wants to speak on this matter before us? Okay. Then, committee members, any other questions? Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman,
I've been so quiet this evening.
Fully informed and ready to have this bill laid over.
All right. Do any members feel contrary to that? Seeing none, then. I will, without objection, then the chair lays over Senate File 323 for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Liquor Bill. Thank you on that. And then, members, appreciate all of your attention and your to all of these bills. We did a long list of them. And we've got a number of them, again, that we've got to make some modifications to. They are still in our committee's possession. We will talk about putting together the omnibus bill and get some input. We'll have that matter before the committee again, and we'll have other amendments, and we'll discuss that, and then we'll move out that omnibus bill. I don't know exactly when, but it'll be sometime in the next couple of weeks. So with that, this committee is adjourned.